Good morning. The 36th plenary meeting of the General Assembly is called to order. The General Assembly will consider in a joint debate agenda item 63 entitled New Partnership for Africa's Development, Progress in Implementation and International Support, and its sub-items A and B, and agenda item 13 entitled 2001 to 2010, Decade to Roll Back Malaria in Developing Countries, particularly in Africa. In connection with sub-items A and B of agenda item 63, reports of the Secretary-General have been circulated as documents A/68/222 and A/68/220, respectively. I now have the honour to deliver a statement on behalf of the President of the General Assembly, His Excellency Ambassador John Ash. Excellencies, distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. I am pleased to welcome you to these important debates, particularly on NEPAD, since it provides us with timely opportunity to review our collective efforts in providing international support for NEPAD and is in an appropriate way to culminate this year's Africa NEPAD Week. In many ways, it is an auspicious time for the African continent, and it is fitting to begin by taking note of some of the positive developments on the continent. Experts now agree that Africa offers the most promising prospects for economic growth in the world, with sub-Saharan Africa as the second fastest growing region. Throughout the continent, we have seen significant progress in political governance, with a number of elections offering promise for future stability. Many countries have also taken pride in recent developments in peace and security, and we look to those examples with hope that the nations that are still struggling will soon follow. While we cannot deny that there are challenges confronting the African continent, the African people and leaders are poised to face them as never before, as they continue to harness their productive powers and grow in solidarity. Today, as we assess international support for NEPAD, we can also acknowledge Africa's collaborative efforts to tackle their shared challenges. NEPAD, first launched in 2001, is a success story. Through the Organization of the African Unity, OAU, which is now the African Union, AU, the African region has found a mechanism to facilitate a cohesive approach to its challenges and opportunities. It has chosen this type of strategic and progressive coordination as an effective means to realize goals in peace and security and socio-economic development. As 2013 marks the 50th anniversary of the establishment of the OAU, I warmly congratulate the people of Africa on this important milestone. Excellencies, NEPAD remains a strong framework for pan-African socio-economic development and the essential blueprint for development on the African continent. The latest report of the Secretary-General Ban Ki-moon on the implementation of and international support of NEPAD suggests notable progress. I commend these positive developments and Africa's commitments in the areas of infrastructural projects, agriculture and food security, health and primary education, and last but not least, redoubling efforts to achieving the remaining MDGs by 2015. The continent can also be justly proud of the establishment of the African Peer Review Mechanism, APRM, which has become a key component of NEPAD and marks its 10th anniversary this year. Through this mechanism, African countries have committed themselves to the promotion of good governance in all its dimensions, corporate, political, and economic. With over 13 African countries voluntarily joining the APRM, the continent is clearly demonstrating its commitment to good governance, transparency, and democratic principles. As we also celebrate this important milestone, I would like to encourage the countries of the region to keep up the momentum and consolidate gains achieved through the APRM. This review process is vital for promoting good governance practices among peers. Distinguished delegates, because NEPAD is so critically important for pan-African socio-economic development, It is vital that the international community continue partnering with African countries and the AU on its implementation and on alleviating development challenges on the continent. This support cannot be overstated and is integral to the overall success of the program. While many countries have been affected by the recent global financial and economic downturn, international partners should continue to work with African countries to ensure NEPAD's commitments are translated into concrete results on the ground. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, the United Nations is an integral and committed partner to NEPAD in realizing its objectives. I would like to commend the ongoing efforts of the UN, particularly the Office of the Special Advisor on Africa, in supporting the full implementation of this program. As President of the 68th session of the UN General Assembly, I pledge to continue to promote a good working relationship between the General Assembly and African member states, as well as international partners to ensure that NEPAD remains a high priority on the agenda of the Assembly. I also hope that several thematic debates and General Assembly-mandated meetings will contribute immensely to support for NEPAD. For example, the meetings on contributions of South-South, triangular cooperation and ICT for development to the post-2015 agenda, and the high-level thematic debate on the promotion of investment in Africa and its catalytic role in achieving Africa's development. Distinguished delegates, my remarks began with a focus on the great achievements, and I close with a reminder of the challenges that remain. It is widely reported that many countries are unlikely to achieve most of the Millennium Development Goals by 2015. In the remaining time before the 2015 target date, we need to accelerate efforts and summon the necessary political will. And as we set the stage for the post-2015 development agenda, the General Assembly will need to focus on how this agenda relates to Africa. Africa's development priorities, as clearly embedded in NEPAD, must be skillfully incorporated into the new development agenda. It is my sincere hope that today's debate will be a strong demonstration of solidarity and support. As we are one united international community, let us continue to chart a practical way forward on successfully implementing NEPAD and creating meaningful change for people across the continent. Thank you. I now give the floor to Her Excellency Praneet Kaur, Minister of State for External Affairs of India.
Your Excellency, President of the General Assembly, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen. Let me first of all congratulate His Excellency, Mr. John Ash, on his election to the presidency of the 68th session of the UN General Assembly. We wish him every success and assure him of our fullest cooperation. I am honored to address today's joint debate on the new partnership for Africa's development and the promotion of peace and development in Africa, including in its efforts to fight malaria. Allow me to also convey our sincerest appreciation to the Secretary General for his timely and extremely informative report on the agenda items under discussion today. Epitomizing the spirit of Pan-Africanism, the new partnership for Africa's development, NEPAD, with its strong emphasis on infrastructure, agriculture, and governance, is indeed firmly on course in realizing the vision of an integrated, prosperous, and peaceful African continent. Madam President, India lauds the progress achieved by Africa in the implementation of NEPAD priorities over the last 10 years through multi-sectoral initiatives in agriculture, infrastructure, health, education, science, information technology, and environment. However, despite these positive strides, serious challenges remain to be addressed before the African continent can achieve all-round development and prosperity. Extreme poverty, hunger, lack of adequate nutrition, conflicts, and other malaises continue to shackle the tremendous potential of the African people. It is therefore important to acknowledge that addressing Africa's development needs and challenges requires an unwavering commitment backed by resolute action, not only from within Africa, but equally important from outside the continent. As has been pointed out in Secretary General's report, to ODA to Africa has further declined from $133.7 billion in 2011 to $125.9 billion in 2012. The report also points out that despite a strong average growth of 6.6% in 2012, it has not been inclusive or sustainable. Persistently high unemployment threatens to undermine the recent gains made towards social development and derail the progress towards the achievement of the MGDs. It is therefore imperative that the international community remains resolute in its support for Africa through sustained cooperation, including transfer of technology, resources, and an enabling international environment, and immediately address this gaping gap between promise and delivery on pledged commitments. In these times of political uncertainty and economic meltdown, it is more incumbent than ever for the continent's development partners to stay the course and help African countries achieve their development goals. Madam President, the India-Africa partnership is based on firm historical foundations, which over the decades has grown into one of the most productive and durable partnerships. For the people of India, Africa is the land of awakening of the father of the nation, Mahatma Gandhi, and our ties continue to be rooted in our history of solidarity against colonialism and apartheid. Our engagement with Africa has come a long way since then, and today we have built a new template for partnership in the form of India-Africa Forum Summit. This partnership is based on mutual respect, guided by the vision and priorities of our African brothers and sisters. India and Africa are committed to pursue the ideals of democratic governance in multicultural, linguistic societies and inclusive development for the benefit of their peoples. India and Africa Union launched a plan of action of enhanced framework of cooperation on 6th September 2013 in New Delhi. India is committed to assist Africa, including in human resources and institutional capacity building, education, science and technology, agricultural productivity and food security, industrial growth, including small and medium enterprises, health sector, infrastructure, and ICT. These activities are being implemented directly with the member states in close consultation with regional economic communities, African Union Commission, and NAPARD Agency. India is also extending concession finance to develop small and social economic infrastructure. Over the last decade, 170 lines of credit for the amount of US $9.7 billion have been allocated, of which $5.8 billion was allocated for African countries. There has been a spectacular increase in India-Africa trade over the last two decades. India-Africa trade has grown from a small $967 million in 1991 to over $70 billion in 2012. The target of $90 billion has been set for 2015. There is significant scope in enhancing and diversifying it with coordinated and sustained efforts. India also actively supports African initiatives for peace and security in the continent. In the pursuit of this commitment, more than 6,500 Indian soldiers support UN peacekeeping operations in various parts of Africa. There is a lot that we can learn from each other's developmental experiences. We have redirected our age-old bonds of friendship to respond to the contemporary aspirations of our peoples and build a partnership which is increasingly being cited as the beacon of South-South cooperation. The IBSA Fund, which recently celebrated a special event on the occasion of International Day of South-South Cooperation here in New York at the UN on 12 September, has already completed several successful projects in Burundi, Cape Verde, Guinea-Bissau, and Sierra Leone for strengthening of infrastructure and capacity building. Madam President, our partnership with Africa has the potential to strengthen global governance systems and democratize multilateral institutions. It is indeed an irony and a continuing question on the credibility of the Security Council's representativeness to not have the whole continent of Africa represented in the permanent category of membership, in spite of nearly 75% of its work being focused on Africa alone. We, along with our African friends, continue to impress upon the need for urgent reforms of the Security Council and addressing historical injustices by making it reflective of contemporary realities. The year 2015, which marks the 70th anniversary of the United Nations, and 10 years following the 2005 World Summit mandate by our heads of states and governments to achieve early reforms, would be a befitting occasion to deliver concrete outcomes on our pledged commitment to reforming institutions of global governance. I thank you, Madam President.
I thank the Minister of State for External Affairs of India. I now give the floor to the representative of Guyana, who will deliver a statement on behalf of the Caribbean community, CARICOM.
Madam President, I have the honor to speak on behalf of the member states of the Caribbean community in today's joint debate on the new Partnership for Africa's Development, progress in implementation and international support, and on the 2001-2010 decade to roll back malaria in developing countries, particularly in Africa. Our delegations thank the Secretary General for his insightful report contained in documents A68220 and A68222, respectively, which amply inform our consideration of the issues under these agenda items. We also acknowledge with appreciation the role of the Office for the Special Advisor on Africa, in conjunction with the Department of Public Information, the UN Economic Commission for Africa, and other relevant agencies in organizing the Africa-NEPAD Week, which provides a useful background to our deliberations today. The current debate, Madam President, takes place in the 50th anniversary year of the formation of the Organization of African Unity, now the African Union. This seminal African institution was established on May 25, 1963, by visionary founders who envisaged a united continent assuming full responsibility for its future in partnership with the international community. In this year of Pan-Africanism and African Renaissance, CARICOM is pleased to renew our solidarity with Africa and our support for the attainment of durable peace and sustainable development on the continent. The founding of the OAU preceded by a decade the establishment of our own Caribbean community in 1973. Not long after the latter event, the 1975 Georgetown Agreement united our two regions along with countries of the Pacific in the African, Caribbean, and Pacific Group, ACP, a cross-continental alliance committed to South-South cooperation and to partnership with Europe in the cause of development. Our two regions, the Caribbean and Africa, have been animated by a common aspiration to chart a course of our own design, informed by the wisdom of our respective experience, while learning from each other and from the experience of others. It is no surprise, therefore, that CARICOM has welcomed and continues to support the African-led and African-owned approach to growth and socioeconomic development that the new partnership represents. By it, Africans are enabled to chart their own course to higher standards of life in larger freedom, to surmount the ravages of conflict and poverty, and to fulfill the rich promise of their potential. The progress which has been made thus far illustrates NAPAD's effectiveness and relevance as a development model for Africa. Mr. President, Madam President, Africa has witnessed major development gains even as it continues to grapple with significant challenges to peace and development. 7 of the 10 fastest growing economies globally are based on the continent, and Africa as a whole is today the world's second fastest growing region. Moreover, a growing middle class, now currently 34% of the population, is projected to reach 1 billion people by 2060. The World Bank's Africa Overview 2013 notes that the region's poverty rate fell from 58.1% in 1999 to 47.5% in 2008. And growth in sub-Saharan Africa is projected to rise from 5.3% in 2012 to 5.6% in 2013. Various assessments indicate that Africa is on track for the achievement of some of the MDGs by 2015, notably MDG 2 regarding universal primary education, MDG 3 in respect of gender parity in school enrollment, and MDG 6, reducing HIV/AIDS prevalence. Despite these achievements, major challenges remain. Africa's rate of poverty reduction is insufficient to reach the target of halving extreme poverty by 2015. The continent, therefore, continues to face the greatest risk in the entire developing world of falling short in achievement of the MDGs. Also, with about 65% of Africans today below the age of 35 and over 35% between the ages of 15 and 35, and with youth unemployment accounting for 60% of continental unemployment, Africa's governments will no doubt face increasingly pressing demands from its young population for decent jobs and better standards of living. Support for major continental undertakings, such as those in agriculture, infrastructure, health, and governance, will therefore be crucial to Africa's future prospects. Madam President, the burden of disease poses a continuing impediment to Africa's progress. Even in the wake of the 2001-2010 decade to roll back malaria in developing countries, particularly in Africa, nearly half of the world's population remains at risk of malaria, and an estimated 219 million cases in 2010 led to approximately 660,000 deaths most of these children under five living in Africa. The World Malaria Report of December 2012 makes a compelling case that international funding for malaria appears to have reached a plateau well below the level required to meet the health-related Millennium Development Goals and other internationally agreed malaria targets. CARICOM urges a renewed international commitment to support Africa and other affected regions against this preventable disease. Madam President, given these realities, the international community's partnership with Africa will remain of great importance, not only to Africa, but to the world. Commitments made to Africa with respect to ODA, trade, transfer of technology, and capacity building must therefore be honored and sustained. The role of South-South and triangular cooperation will remain integral to the global response to Africa's development challenges as a complement to the commitment of traditional development partners. Madam President, CARICOM supports Africa's quest to improve governance and accountability, reflecting our shared commitments in this regard. The role of the African peer review mechanism, now in its 10th anniversary year, has been instrumental in this process. In this context, we note that 33 countries have voluntarily acceded to the mechanism. And of these, 17 countries have completed their self-assessment and have been peer-reviewed by the Forum of Heads of State and Government. We express the hope that the stability being experienced by most African countries will be sustained and that setbacks to peace and security will be overcome in the interest of the countries and peoples concerned. CARICOM, therefore, supports UN and AU efforts in conflict prevention, peacekeeping, and peace building, which are critical to the promotion of durable peace and sustainable development. And we support Africa's aspirations to permanent and non-permanent presence on the Security Council. Madam President, turning to the bilateral relationship between our two regions, I am pleased to report that the Caribbean's age-old relations with Africa are being consolidated in modern times through strengthened diplomatic engagements, increased people-to-people ties, and the pursuit of economic and technical cooperation for mutual benefit. The ACP group endures as an important mechanism for collaboration and in our relations with the European Union. A key emphasis of current efforts is on the structural transformation of ACP economies to ensure that a significant proportion of the wealth generated from our natural resources, especially minerals and agricultural commodities, remain within our countries for their sustainable development. CARICOM and the AU continue to partner in the AU diaspora process, which constitutes an ongoing link between member states of our two regions. At the United Nations, CARICOM and Africa have engaged together and with other partners in the undertaking to erect in a place of prominence at UN headquarters a permanent memorial to the victims of slavery and the transatlantic slave trade. We reached an important milestone in this endeavor with the unveiling last September of the winning design for the memorial, and we will continue to work with all partners to see this project through to a successful conclusion. CARICOM in Africa will have much in which to collaborate in the elaboration of the post-2015 development agenda. Madam President, in conclusion, the Caribbean community takes this opportunity to express our confidence in the prospects for Africa's continued progress. Africa's renaissance heralds the promise of a brighter day, not only for the people of that great continent, but also for the people of the world at large. We therefore renew our commitment to partnership in the cause of mutual success. I thank you.
I thank the distinguished representative of Guyana. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Brunei Darussalam, who will deliver a statement on behalf of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN.
Madam President, I have the honor to address the General Assembly this morning on behalf of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, comprising Brunei Darussalam, Cambodia, Indonesia, Laos, PDR, Malaysia, Myanmar, the Philippines, Singapore, Thailand, Vietnam. I would also like to thank the UN Secretary General for his comprehensive reports. Madam President, ASEAN attaches great importance to its friendship and cooperation with Africa, and we share the same aspiration for the development of our regions. The relation between the countries of our two regions have also been enhanced through solidarity, cooperation, and mutual respect. We acknowledge the good progress that many of the African countries have had in achieving their Millennium Development Goals. We also acknowledge the challenges faced by the African countries, and we understand their difficulties to attain the MDGs by 2015. We note the effort of the African countries have been slowed down by economic crisis, political upheavals, natural disaster, and decline of humanitarian assistance. ASEAN, in this regard, continues to encourage NEPAD efforts to address these concerns, especially by prioritizing and mainstreaming issues of health, education, and gender in their agenda. Furthermore, ASEAN welcomes the valuable contribution made by African peer review mechanism to strengthen the engagement between African government and the people. Madam President, at the international level, ASEAN welcomes the United Nations constructive role and assistance, such as the launching of the UN monitoring mechanism to review the implementation of commitment made to Africa's development. Individually, ASEAN countries have also strengthened their relation with African member states. Each of us, in our own way, have offered capacity-building programs and provided educational scholarship to the African countries. We hope our assistance have benefited African countries and helped them in the progress towards attaining their MDGs by 2015. Above all, we share the same view with many of the African countries who have placed great emphasis on the importance of including poverty eradication in the post-2015 agenda. Madam President, turning to the issue of malaria, both ASEAN and African countries have been affected by this contagious disease. ASEAN, therefore, supports Africa's effort to combat malaria and other diseases, including HIV/AIDS and tuberculosis. ASEAN welcome the establishment of a global fund to fight AIDS, tuberculosis, and malaria, aiming to help developing countries eradicate these deadly pandemics. Each ASEAN member state has different experiences and areas of expertise, and we stand ready to share our best practices with African countries. In this regard, ASEAN joined the Secretary General call upon other countries in a position to contribute, as mentioned in his report, to continue and redouble efforts to help accelerate the achieving of NDGs and sustainable development and sustainable growth in Africa. In addition, ASEAN looks forward to sharing and exchanging information and experiences on development-related issues. We hope all these combined efforts will aid our African colleagues to achieve their goal. I thank you, Madam President.
I thank the distinguished representative of Brunei Darussalam. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of the European Union.
I have the honor to speak on behalf of the European Union and its member states. The candidate country is Turkey, the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia, Montenegro, Iceland, and Serbia. The country of the stabilization and association process and potential candidate, Bosnia and Herzegovina, as well as Ukraine, the Republic of Moldova, and Georgia align themselves with this statement. Madam President, let me start by emphasizing the importance the EU and its member states attach to the EU-Africa partnership and to the economic and social development of African countries. We are proud of having built a strategic partnership between Europe and Africa, the first region-to-region strategic partnership in the world, having at its heart the principles of African unity, mutual interdependence, and enhanced cooperation. The Africa-EU strategic partnership, established in 2007, reflects the shared vision and commitments to work towards common goals of Africa's 54 countries and the European Union's 28 member states, a combined population of 1.5 billion citizens. Next April in Brussels, Europe and Africa will meet for the fourth Africa-Europe Summit to take this partnership to a new level. We will advance further in promoting sustainable development in our two regions, in nurturing and defending democracy and basic freedoms, and in offering a better future to our citizens. Africa is in the process of a long-term political and socio-economic transformation. As we have heard from presentations and discussions this week in celebration of the 10-year anniversary of the African Peer Review Mechanism and the 50th anniversary of the establishment of the Organization of African Unity, now the African Union. It is with great satisfaction that we witness Africa realizing its huge potential with impressive levels of growth, 5% on average and up to double that in some countries, seven out of the world's 10 fastest growing economies are African, a rapidly emerging middle class, and a young, dynamic, fast-growing population that is expected to double by 2050. These are all huge assets that are already transforming the continent for the better. Africa's economic and social development benefits first and foremost the people of Africa, but we believe this is also in the interest of the European Union. Recognizing the principle of African solutions for African challenges, we acknowledge the essential role of the African Union and NEPAD in the definition of continental-wide economic and political governance policy frameworks and programs to underpin this transformation and to address the significant challenges still ahead of us, in particular in eradicating poverty and making sure that growth and wealth benefit the largest number of people. For our part, we would like to reassure that the European Union is and will remain Africa's most important partner as far as development aid is concerned and, more importantly, in trade, investment, security, and people-to-people contacts. The EU and its member states remains Africa's most important donors, with 45% equivalent to 21 billion euro of aid targeting the continent in 2011 alone. The support covers all of NEPAD's strategic focus areas and include, among others, support to the APIM as the main African-led framework to monitor and promote good governance in the continent. And it includes support aligned to the two NEPAD programs recommended in the NEPAD resolution agreed by plenary a few months ago for increased alignment by development partners, the Program for Infrastructure Development in Africa, and the Comprehensive Africa Agriculture Development Program. It is estimated that the lack of adequate infrastructure can reduce productivity by as much as 40%. This is why Africa gives high importance to its Program for Infrastructure Development, and this is why a cornerstone of our cooperation is the EU-Africa Infrastructure Trust Fund, which has a total funding of 746 million euros. Boosting agriculture productivity, food security, and resilience is another major priority to achieve the goal of eradicating poverty and tapping Africa's potential. This is why we are providing support to the Comprehensive Africa Development Program at continental, regional, and national levels. The European Union also remains the biggest trading partner for the African continent, accounting for one-third of Africa's total trade. And European Union countries also invest considerably in Africa. From 2005 to 2010, European Union countries were responsible for 43.7% of foreign direct investments in Africa. Madam President, Africa continues to face a huge burden of potentially preventable and treatable diseases, and we know that malaria, alongside other communicable and non-communicable diseases, inflict a heavy burden on Africa, particularly women, children, and the most vulnerable. The European Union and its member states will continue their collective support, always seeking the most efficient modes of delivery by working through national governments, but also with relevant organizations and mechanisms, including the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, Tuberculosis, and Malaria, which the European Commission has been associated with since it was founded 12 years ago. Since then, the Commission has contributed more than 1.1 billion euros to the Global Fund. Collectively, the EU and its member states have been contributing 50% to the Global Fund's budget so far. Combating diseases such as malaria through strengthened national health systems, which are responsive and able to deliver comprehensive quality health services for the entire population, is, in our view, one of the most effective ways to alleviate poverty and promote equitable and sustainable economic growth. Madam President, the Africa-EU partnership goes beyond development to tackle other issues of common interest, such as peace and security. Peace and security are essential for the development and prosperity of any country, and it is universally recognized that development, peace and security, and human rights are interlinked and mutually reinforcing. The African Union is stepping up action in helping to resolve the conflicts on its continent. We welcome this development, and we are directly supporting Africa's capability to manage African problems. Since 2004, the European Union has provided more than 1.1 billion euro to the Africa Peace Facility to fund African-led peace support operations, to strengthen the African peace and security architecture, and to make operational the early response mechanism. Madam President, let me conclude by emphasizing that the European Union and its member states remain fully committed to supporting Africa and Africans in their quest for peace, democratic governance, human rights, and sustainable development. Thank you.
I thank the distinguished representative of the European Union. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Kuwait.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سيد الرئيس يطيب لوفد بلادي المشاركة في مناقشة البند 63 الشراكة الجديدة من أجل تنمية إفريقيا وبنديه الفرعيين ألف وباء ولقد اطلعنا باهتمام على ما ورد في تقريري الأمين العام للأمم المتحدة في الوثيقتين A على 68-220-222 والذي يركز فيهما على التدابير السياسية التي اتخذتها البلدان والمنظمات الأفريقية في تنفيذ الشراكة الجديدة من أجل تنمية إفريقيا وما شمله من استعراض للتقدم الواضح خلال الاثنى عشر شهر الماضي في تنفيذ جدول أعمال الشراكة الجديدة من أجل تنمية إفريقيا وضرورة الاستمرار ومواصلة إقامة الشراكات لمعالجة المسائل المتعلقة بالأمن والأمن الغذائي والتنمية وتعزيز سيادة القانون وتعليم المرأة وتمكين المرأة والتعليم الذي سيساهم وبشكل ملحوظ في التنمية الاقتصادية والاجتماعية والسياسية وتولي دولة الكويت أهمية خاصة لهذا البند نظراً للعلاقات الوثيقة والتاريخية التي تربط دولة الكويت مع القارة الإفريقية ولما تعاني منه القارة من هموم وآلام تتطلب تضافر جهود المجتمع الدولي لمساعدة شعوبها ولعل أخطر هذه التحديات هي تلك المتعلقة بالجفاف والتصحر والأمراض والنزعات المسلحة بالإضافة إلى معوقات تحقيق الأهداف الإنمائية للألفية مع اقتراب الموعد المحدد لها السيد الرئيس لقد مضى 12 عاماً منذ اعتماد رؤساء الدول الأفريقية مبادرة النيباد تلك الرؤية الاستراتيجية الشاملة لتحقيق التنمية الاقتصادية والاجتماعية في القارة الأفريقية ومضى 11 سنة منذ أن قامت الجمعية العامة للأمم المتحدة بتنظيم حوار رفيع المستوى حول النيباد في عام 2002 واعتمادها قرار 57/7 الصادر في نوفمبر 2002 كإطار لتنمية أفريقيا ودعم أجهزة الأمم المتحدة ووكالاتها المتخصصة وغيرها من شركاء التنمية لمواءمة برامجها الموجهة لدعم جهود التنمية في أفريقيا وللأسف ورغم التقدم الذي تحقق في مجالات عديدة والنمو الاقتصادي الملحوظ لعدد من دول القارة إلا أنه ما زال هناك دول وشعوب تعاني من ارتفاع في حالات الفقر وانتشار الأمراض الخطيرة والمعدية كالإيدز والملاريا يصاحبها نقص مستفحل للدعم الاقتصادي ومشاريع التنمية وهذا ما يستدعي وقفة جادة من المجتمع الدولي لدعم ومساعدة أفريقيا لتحقيق الأهداف الإنمائية المتفق عليها دولياً بما فيها الأهداف الإنمائية للألفية ورؤية أفريقيا الطموحة لعام 2063 دابت دولة الكويت منذ نشأتها على العمل وبإيمان راسخ وقناعة تامة على مد جسور التعاون في مجالات التطور والتنمية مع مختلف الدول الإفريقية والعربية، حيث سارعت دولة الكويت منذ اليوم الأول لانضمامها للأمم المتحدة للوفاء بمساهماتها في كافة البرامج الدولية لخلق الشراكات العالمية. وفي هذا الصدد أود أن أشير بأن دولة الكويت لم ولن تدخر جهداً في مواصلة ودعم وتقديم المساعدات للدول النامية عامة والدول الإفريقية بشكل خاص، وذلك عبر مؤسساتها الرسمية أو قطاعها الخاص. هذه المساعدات التي تعتبر نهجاً ثابتاً لسياسة دولة الكويت الخارجية انطلاقاً من قناعاتها بأن النهوض باقتصاديات تلك الدول ومد يد العونها لتحقيق أهدافها الإنمائية سيعود بالمنفعة على الجميع ويعزز من آفاق الشراكة والتعاون ويزيد من متانة النظام التجاري والاقتصادي العالميين. وستستمر بلادي بهذا الدعم لتحقيق طموحات الدول النامية بشكل عام والدول الإفريقية على وجه الخصوص. سيد الرئيس، إن لدولة الكويت تاريخ حافل في الشراكة مع الدول الإفريقية ودعم عجلتها التنموية، ولقد جسدت دولة الكويت هذه الشراكة من جانبها السياسي من خلال علاقات ثنائية مميزة وفي جانبها الاقتصادي كذلك. ولعل المرتكز الأساسي والفاعل في هذا الجانب هو تواجد الصندوق الكويتي للتنمية الاقتصادية والعربية في 48 دولة من أصل 54 دولة في الاتحاد الإفريقي، وإدراكاً من بلادي لأهمية العمل المشترك لما فيه صالح شعوب الدول النامية، فإن الصندوق الكويتي للتنمية الاقتصادية والعربية امتد نشاطه إلى 102 دولة من بين دول العالم، وساهم في تمويل عدة مشاريع في قطاعاتها المختلفة مثل الزراعة والنقل والطاقة والمياه والبنى التحتية والصحة والتعليم وغيرها. ولم تكن القارة الإفريقية بعيدة عن نشاط الصندوق، حيث بلغ إجمالي قيمة مساهمات الصندوق الكويتي لمشاريع التنمية في إفريقيا ما يفوق 6.4 مليار دولار أمريكي. كما شارك الصندوق في مبادرة البنك الدولي وصندوق النقد الدولي عام 96 لتخفيف عبء المديونية عن 24 دولة من الاتحاد الإفريقي. وأطلقت دولة الكويت مبادرة إنشاء صندوق الحياة الكريمة برأس مال قدره 100 مليون دولار أمريكي بهدف مساعدة الدول على مواجهة متطلباتها الأساسية في ظل الصعوبات التي أفرزتها أزمة الغذاء العالمي التي نشبت عامي 2007-2008. كما ساهمت دولة الكويت في الكثير من الصناديق التي أنشأتها في قارة أفريقيا لمكافحة الجوع والفقر بمبالغ تتجاوز 300 مليون دولار أمريكي، والتزمت أيضاً بمبلغ 500 مليون دولار أمريكي في مؤتمر المانحين لشرق السودان. هذا وانضمام دولة الكويت لعضوية الاتحاد الأفريقي بصفة مراقب، كل تلك مؤشرات تؤكد على عمق العلاقة الكويتية الأفريقية. السيد الرئيس، احتفلت دولة الكويت هذا العام بالذكرى 50 لانضمامها لهذه المنظمة العريقة، وقد حرصت منذ ذلك الوقت على تقديم الدعم للعديد من الوكالات والأجهزة والمنظمات التابعة لها بفاعلية كبيرة، إيماناً منها بأهمية العمل الدولي المشترك في ظل تعاظم وتزايد التحديات على كافة الأصعدة والمستويات. وامتداداً لهذا النهج التعاوني المبني على التنسيق وروح المبادرة، سوف تستضيف دولة الكويت خلال الفترة من 18 إلى 20 من هذا من شهر نوفمبر المقبل القمة العربية الإفريقية الثالثة، والتي تأتي تحت شعار شركاء في التنمية والاستثمار، ونأمل في أن تتوج بنتائج تعمق أسس التعاون العربي الإفريقي وتفتح آفاقا جديدة تخدم الاستقرار والتنمية والتعاون بين شعوب ودول هاتين المجموعتين. سيد الرئيس، في الختام أود أن أذكر بأن القارة الإفريقية وبحكم الروابط التاريخية والتراث الطويل والمصالح والآمال والمصير المشترك يتطلب من المجتمع الدولي وجميع المنظمات الحكومية وغير الحكومية والقطاع الخاص التحرك وبشكل جاد ومستمر بدعم متطلبات وطموحات شعب القارة الإفريقية في تحقيق التنمية والنهوض باقتصادياتها. وشكراً سامعك ورحمة الله.
I thank the distinguished representative of Kuwait. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of the United States.
Madam President, the United States welcomes the reports of the Secretary General on the new Partnership for Africa's Development, NAPAD, and the report 2001 to 2010, Decade to Roll Back Malaria in Developing Countries, and particularly Africa. The United States strongly supports the ongoing efforts of many African countries to generate broad-based, sustained, and inclusive economic growth that allows them to reduce poverty and unemployment and integrate more successfully into the global economy. We are encouraged by their work to create more enabling business environments and their focus on infrastructure development and cooperation. We commend the NAPAD Planning and Coordinating Agency for its efforts to support initiatives of individual governments alongside the African Union, the United Nations, and the African Development Bank. This is critical for attracting domestic investment and encouraging a vibrant private sector. On the occasion of the 10th anniversary of the African Peer Review Mechanism, the United States commends its participants and their determination to share experiences and reinforce best practices. We observe as well the obvious dedication of the APRM Secretariat to this process. The United States continues to support the new Partnership for Africa's Development as the African state's collective vision and strategic framework for socioeconomic development in Africa. We support NAPAD's priorities for democratization, good governance, and economic transparency, as well as its initiatives to enhance regional and national level infrastructure, food security, and nutrition. I'd like to highlight briefly some U.S. initiatives in the area of food security and energy infrastructure development that support NAPAD objectives. African countries are essential partners in U.S. food security initiatives. In 2012, Feed the Future Worldwide helped over 7 million food producers adopt improved agricultural technologies, bring 4 million hectares of land under improved cultivation and management practices, increase the exports of targeted commodities by $84 million, and increase the value of agricultural and rural loans by $150 million. The program also reached over 12 million children with nutrition programs that have reduced anemia, supported community gardens, fostered fortification, and treated acute malnutrition. The United States also supports the work of the AU and African nations to invest in the development of their agricultural sectors under the Comprehensive Africa Agriculture Development Program. In 2012, the United States leveraged its presidency of the G8 to deepen the global commitment to food security. At the G8 summit hosted by President Obama at Camp David, African heads of state, corporate leaders, and G8 members pledged to partner through the new Alliance for Food Security and Nutrition, working with the African Union and Grow Africa to lift 50 million people out of poverty in sub-Saharan Africa by 2022. Later this year, we plan to launch the Climate Smart Agriculture Alliance, working with South Africa and others to underpin and accelerate implementation of climate-smart agricultural practices. Among a number of U.S. actions to support infrastructure development, in June, President Obama launched the Power Africa Initiative. With an initial set of 6 partner countries, Power Africa aims to add more than 10,000 megawatts of cleaner, more efficient electricity generation, and improve the governance and transparency with which Africa's conventional energy resources are managed. The trend toward increasing domestic resource mobilization in support of those projects is remarkable. We agree with NAPAD participants that effective and transparent revenue collection and procurement structures are key enablers, and that public investment catalyzes private investment. Turning to the report on malaria, the United States has demonstrated a commitment to the prevention and treatment of malaria for many years, and we will continue to work with national governments and other partners to help lead the effort to end deaths from malaria. The President's Malaria Initiative, launched in 2005, represented an historic $1.2 billion five-year expansion of U.S. government resources to fight malaria in sub-Saharan Africa. In 2008, $5 billion in five more years were allocated to halving the burden of malaria in 70% of at-risk populations in sub-Saharan Africa. The President's Malaria Initiative now focuses on 19 countries in Africa. In 2012 alone, over 50 million people were protected against malaria through these efforts. The global malaria fight is succeeding. Deaths decreased by a third over the past decade, from a million to an estimated 600,000 annually. We are particularly proud of the catalytic role that U.S. financial and technical contributions have played in reducing the devastating burden of malaria on child mortality. Working in close partnership with host countries and other development partners, the U.S. goal over the next 5 to 10 years will be to sustain and build on these successful efforts. We encourage all donor and recipient nations to support global malaria control efforts through appropriate financial contributions and stronger political commitments. If each affected African country partners in malaria prevention, as many did in HIV/AIDS prevention programs, the goal of malaria-free Africa will be attainable sooner. Thank you, Madam President.
I thank the distinguished representative of the United States. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Thailand.
Thank you, Madam President. It's a pleasure to see you in the chair. Madam President, Thailand aligns itself with the statement delivered earlier by the distinguished permanent representative of Brunei Darussalam on behalf of ASEAN. At the outset, Madam Chair, Thailand wishes to thank the Secretary General for his comprehensive reports on New Partnerships for Africa's Development on NEPAD, the 11th Consolidated Progress Report on Implementation and International Support, and his other report, Causes and Conflict and the Promotion of Durable Peace and Sustainable Development in Africa. Africa, Madam President, is a continent with enormous potential, endowed with human capital, diverse environment, and natural resources. Through the unwavering commitments and efforts of African countries, their partners, and regional organizations, we have seen progress in some flagship programs of development, as stated in the Secretary General's report. However, as the Secretary General noted, persistent challenges to development in Africa remain. With the year 2015 fast approaching, some countries still lag behind and are unlikely to achieve their MDGs. Both persistent and emerging global challenges remain unresolved, including famine, poverty, pandemics, climate change, economic crisis, political turmoil, and the issue of terrorism. These challenges must be urgently addressed in a holistic manner. Madam President, NEPAD is proof that establishing partnership for development is the right approach. It makes far-reaching goals reachable and some seemingly impossible goals possible. Thailand therefore attaches importance to fostering partnership with our brothers and sisters in Africa. 2013 marks a new chapter in Thai-African relations. We are set to enhance strategic partnership with Africa through the Thai-Africa Initiative. This initiative is one of Thailand's most important foreign policy agenda. The partnership will be based on three main pillars: development, economics, and cooperation. And as part of this initiative, Madam President, Thailand hosted the second senior officials meeting in September 2013, attended by senior officials from 37 African countries. The meeting discussed modalities to advance this initiative. Several areas of possible cooperation were identified, including food security, agriculture, agro-processing, energy, human resources development, sustainable development, infrastructure, and the empowerment of women. A high-level dialogue between Thai and African leaders, which Thailand will host on 3rd to 4th February 2014, will give further impetus to this initiative and turn the initiative into action. Madam President, food security remains a serious issue. Greater efforts must be made to raise Africa's agricultural productivity, as recommended in the Secretary General's report. Thailand is determined to increase our cooperation through the exchange of know-how on sustainable agriculture development and food processing with our African partners. We will also offer agricultural cooperation programs tailored specifically to the needs of individual African countries. Human capital is the most valuable resource for development. Thailand, therefore, gives high priority to cooperation with our African partners on human resource development. Scholarships for higher education and fellowships for training will continue to be offered. We will also carry out joint development projects in such areas we have expertise in and could be of value to Africa, such as fisheries, healthcare, and rural development. Madam President, Thailand, as one of the three donor countries to the Yokohama Plan for 2013 to 2017, will continue our participation in the Tokyo International Conference on African Development, or TICAD. We see TICAD as a very important platform for enhancing the development of Africa. Thailand will also continue our engagement with Africa on a wide range of areas in the spirit of South-South cooperation. We value highly and hope to increase the triangular cooperation with the UN agencies such as UNDP and UNTAC through the International Trade and Development Center based in Bangkok, Thailand. Madam President, health is another vital issue. Sustainable growth and development cannot be achieved without a healthy population. Thailand has undertaken a proactive policy to roll back malaria. We have set as a target to reduce the affected area of malaria in Thailand to 20% by 2020. Not only have we forged closer cooperation with our neighbors in the greater Mekong region, but have now extended our support to Africa. Our African partners now include Burkina Faso, Burundi, Gambia, Mali, and Senegal. Technology transfer projects for the local production of malaria drugs have also been successfully implemented. Thailand is also committed to, and we actively advocate, universal and equitable access to treatment and medication without discrimination. Madam President, it is Thailand's firm belief that sustainable development and durable peace and security are mutually reinforcing. We agree totally with the Secretary General, who in his report stated that the consolidation of democracy and the entrenchment of the rule of law and good governances are critical to Africa's economic and political stability. On our part, we will continue to play our role in contributing to peace and security in Africa. Our men and women have and currently serve in UNAMID in Darfur, UNMIL in Libya, and the counter-piracy task groups in the Gulf of Aden and in Somalia. Our African brothers and sisters and the international community can continue to count on Thailand in support of Africa and the international community in achieving and maintaining peace and security. In conclusion, Madam President, Thailand is committed to strengthening the global partnership for development in Africa. We will be more than happy to share our experiences and best practice in the various areas of development which our African brothers and sisters, so that our two continents, while geographically far apart, will become ever closer through the spirit of cooperation. And I thank you, Madam President.
I thank the distinguished representative of Thailand. And I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of the Russian Federation.
Уважаемая госпожа председатель, за последнее время на африканском континенте произошли разительные позитивные перемены. Главная заслуга в этом принадлежит самим африканцам. Несмотря на сохраняющиеся вызовы, Африка продолжает уверенно идти по пути широких преобразований и модернизации. Россия приветствует соответствующие усилия африканского сообщества, активное участие африканских стран в общемировых политических, экономических и гуманитарных процессах является важнейшим фактором успешной реализации приоритетов глобальной социально-экономической повестки дня. Мы поддерживаем скоординированные меры, призванные содействовать достижению устойчивого развития африканского континента. Приоритетное значение придаем программе «Новое партнерство в интересах развития Африки» – НИПАД. Активно участвуем в согласованных шагах по оказанию НИПАД комплексного содействия как на двусторонней основе, так и в рамках соответствующих международных механизмов, включая «восьмерку» и «двадцатку». Россия на протяжении многих десятилетий предоставляет прямую помощь африканскому континенту. К настоящему времени нами уже списана основная задолженность африканских государств – это более 20 миллиардов долларов. По данному показателю, Россия уверенно занимает первое место среди стран «восьмерки». Намерены впредь способствовать облегчению долгового бремени континента, соответствующие межправительственные соглашения по схеме «долг в обмен на развитие» заключены с Танзанией, Замбией и Мозамбиком на общую сумму в 263,6 миллионов долларов. Вклад России в реализацию одобренной на саммите «восьмерки» в Кэмп-Дэвиде в мае 2012 года инициативы «Новый альянс в области продовольственной безопасности и питания» составит за период 2013-2015 год 110 миллионов долларов. Наша страна активно участвует в международных усилиях по оказанию гуманитарного содействия странам Африки. За счет российских взносов в Фонд Всемирной продовольственной программы ООН в 2012 году была оказана продовольственная помощь Джибути, Кении, Гвинеи, Сомали, Эфиопии и Чаду на общую сумму в 13 миллионов долларов. В ноябре 2012 года Российская Федерация предоставила на двусторонней основе срочную гуманитарную помощь Мали и Гвинее. В феврале текущего года Мали и Мозамбику, а в июне пострадавшему от наводнений населению Кении. Правительством Российской Федерации принято решение о выплате целевого взноса в размере 1 миллиона долларов в Фонд Международной организации гражданской обороны в целях оказания гуманитарного содействия Лесоту. Государствам региона предоставляются широкие торговые преференции. Товары традиционного экспорта наименее развитых стран, большая часть которых находится в Африке, не облагаются в России импортными таможенными пошлинами. Значительная помощь оказывается африканским странам в сфере здравоохранения и подготовки кадров. В настоящее время в российских высших учебных заведениях обучается около 8 тысяч африканцев, из которых примерно половина по государственной линии. В 2012 году странам Африки было предоставлено около 1000 российских государственных стипендий. В текущем году предусматривается очередное увеличение их количества. Россия придает большое значение выполнению целей десятилетия борьбы за сокращение масштабов заболеваемости малярией. В 2011 году завершилась выплата нашего взноса в размере 20 миллионов долларов на реализацию программы Всемирного банка по борьбе с малярией в странах Африки. Общая сумма добровольного взноса России в глобальный фонд по борьбе с ВИЧ-СПИД, туберкулезом и малярией достигла 100 миллионов долларов. Российский взнос в Всемирную организацию здравоохранения на реализацию глобальной инициативы по искоренению полиомиелита составил 18 миллионов долларов. Госпожа Председатель, несмотря на общее снижение за последние десятилетия интенсивности и количества конфликтов, Африка все еще остается уязвимой для разного рода кризисов. Об этом, в частности, свидетельствует ситуация в Сахеле, регионе Великих озер и на Африканском Роге. Успешное предотвращение и урегулирование конфликтов на континенте зависит от умелого использования целого набора специфических инструментов, включая раннее предупреждение и реагирование, превентивную дипломатию, посредничество, добрые услуги, примирение, меры по укреплению доверия. Большое значение имеет также системная работа по преодолению глубинных причин конфликтов, в первую очередь застарелых проблем политического, социально-экономического и гуманитарного характера. Россия оказывает последовательную политическую поддержку соответствующим усилиям африканского сообщества, готова и далее содействовать укреплению собственного антикризисного потенциала африканских государств. С удовлетворением отмечаем все более активное участие в кризисном реагировании Афросоюза и субрегиональных организаций Африки. Центральная роль в этих усилиях отводится Совету мира и безопасности, континентальной системе раннего предупреждения и формируемым африканским силам постоянной готовности. Выступаем за наращивание партнерства ООН и Афросоюза по разрешению, предотвращению и урегулированию конфликтов. Отмечаем совместные усилия двух организаций по Дарфуру, Сомали и на межсуданском треке. Не менее важной считаем дальнейшую координацию действий в отношении кризисных ситуаций в Демократической Республике Конго, Мали, Гвинее-Бисау, Центральноафриканской Республике. Как постоянный член Совета Безопасности ООН, Россия вносит весомый вклад в выработку стратегической линии международного сообщества и практических мер по укреплению мира и безопасности в Африке. Расширяем подготовку афромиротворцев и представителей правоохранительных органов африканских стран. В прошлом году Россия осуществила добровольный взнос в размере 2 миллионов долларов в Африканский фонд мира. Госпожа Председатель, Россия заинтересована в развитии взаимовыгодного разнопланового сотрудничества с Африкой, придании ему долговременного стратегического характера. Уверены, что дальнейшему наращиванию нашего партнерства будет способствовать реализация выдвинутых президентом Российской Федерации Владимиром Владимировичем Путиным на форуме БРИКС Африка в Дурбане в марте этого года инициатив по налаживанию политического и экономического взаимодействия БРИКС с Афросоюзом, НИПАД и субрегиональными организациями. Благодарю вас.
I thank the distinguished representative of the Russian Federation. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Israel.
Madam President, before I begin, I would like to take this opportunity to thank Undersecretary Majid Abdulaziz and the Office of the Special Advisor for Africa for their commitment to promoting international support for peace and development in Africa. Madam President, Winston Churchill once said, "A pessimist sees the difficult in every opportunity. The optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty." No one would argue that the countries of Africa had had more than their fair share of difficulties. Despite the many challenges, the continent is rich in talent, in energy, and hope. The building blocks needed to unlock the continent's vast potential. My personal understanding of Africa does not come from Hollywood movies or stories in National Geographic. I speak from personal experience as a young child living in what was then Tanganyika. I recall the warmth and the sense of community of the African people. I also vividly remember the feeling of excitement that followed when nations earned their independence. In the 1950s and 60s, dozens of African countries pulled down the flags of the colonial powers and raised the flags of their own. Since then, nation after nation had begun the difficult transition from war towards peace, from dictatorship towards democracy, and from poverty towards economic stability. Madam President, we're here today to discuss the progress in Africa's development. DPAD is an initiative led by Africans for Africa. It provides unique opportunities for African countries to take control of their own development agenda, to work together, and to cooperate more effectively with their international partners. From Zululand to Yorubaland, and from the Nile River to the Niger River, NIPAD is helping advance Africa's common goals. You could say that NIPAD is the launching pad for Africa's in the new millennium. The nations and people of Africa have made tremendous progress on the path towards greater prosperity. Yet, from the promise and opportunity on the horizon, there are still daunting challenges, including extreme poverty, drought, famine, conflict, and gender disparity. In Burkina Faso, the average working day for men is 8.5 hours, but for women, it's 14 hours. In Gabon, women perform 95% of farm work and usually work 15 hours a day. In contrast, even during peak agricultural periods, men spend only 2 to 3 hours a day on agriculture. Studies show that if African women were given the same access as men to vocational training and to technology, the African economy would expand by at least 40%. This is a staggering figure and one that cannot be ignored by anyone in this room. It goes without saying that the African nations have primary responsibility for their social and economic development, but the international community must do all it can to support these efforts. Madam President, in its earliest days, Israel was a fledgling state barely able to provide for its own, was surrounded by enemies and struggled to cope with the absorption of hundreds of thousands of refugees. In 1958, then Foreign Minister Golda Meir traveled to the African continent and saw the many challenges shared between the African nations and Israel. She said, and I quote, "Like them, we had shaken off foreign rule. Like them, we had to learn for ourselves how to reclaim the land, how to increase the yields of the crops, and how to irrigate, and how to live together, and how to defend ourselves." End of quote. Driven by the Jewish value of Tikkun Olam, the obligation of every person to play a part in making this world a better place, we launch an ambitious program to share our nation-building knowledge with the newborn countries of Africa. Today, Israel is an oasis of innovation in an otherwise arid region. We have more startup companies than many of the world's wealthiest countries. Our doctors and researchers have made medical breakthroughs that have saved countless of lives. We lead the world in green technologies like solar power and desalinization. And our scientists have found innovative ways to vastly expand the yield and the quality and the quantity of crops. Madam President, Israel has been eager to share the secret of its success with the rest of the world. Through Mashav, Israel's Agency for International Cooperation, we are sharing our innovative solutions with countries throughout Africa and around the world. Israelis are helping save lives through organizations like Save a Child's Heart that provides pediatric cardiac care to children from developing countries who suffer from heart disease. This organization has helped hundreds of thousands of children around the world, including from Ethiopia, from Tanzania, from Nigeria, Ghana, and Angola. An Israeli irrigation company introduces low-pressure, low-cost drip irrigation system for subsistence farmers, providing them with enough water to raise crops year-round. In the Kenyan village of Kitui, farmers began using this system instead of hauling water from wells. They saw a 140% increase in harvested yield and a 200% increase in income. Israeli scientists are also helping overcome many of the most pressing problems faced by African farmers. After discovering that 50% of every grain and pulse harvest in the developing world is lost to pests and mold, Israeli researchers designed inexpensive bags that protect crops from water and air. These bags are being used by countless African farmers to keep their grain market fresh. Madam President, there's a wonderful African proverb that says, if you want to go quickly, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. This is what NEPAD is about, Africans forging Africa's future together. A new wave of optimism is sweeping through the plains, mountains, and savannas of Africa. But in order for this optimism to take hold, every child and every family and every community must have the opportunity to build a brighter future. So let us pledge to empower the people of Africa. Let us commit to ensuring that they have equal opportunities. And let us strive to ensure a brighter future for all of Africa's people. As musical superstar Shakira said in a song, "This time for Africa," she says, "Today's your day, I feel it. You paved the way, believe it. This time for Africa." Thank you, Madam President.
I thank the distinguished representative of Israel. I like that song too. And I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Japan.
Madam President, at the outset, Japan would like to thank the Secretary General for his comprehensive reports, A68222 and A68220. Today, Africa is achieving strong and steady growth. In 2012, the average annual economic growth rate on the African continent was 6.6%. On the other hand, Africa still faces various challenges, including conflict and poverty. We must urgently strengthen our efforts to work with Africa so that it can take full advantage of its natural resources and growing population to realize economies and societies from which all people on the continent can benefit, including the socially vulnerable. We must also strengthen efforts to realize resilient societies against natural disasters, such as droughts and other crises arising from economic and social changes. Needless to say, we must also recognize that peace and stability provides the foundation for Africa's development. Madam President, Japan had the privilege to host the 5th Tokyo International Conference on African Development, TICAD 5, in June this year. This conference was co-organized with the United Nations, the African Union Commission, the United Nations Development Program, and the World Bank. Since 1993, the TICAD process
has been promoting African development by emphasizing both the ownership by African countries and partnership of the international community, including Japan. Since the launch of NEPAD in 2001, the TICAD process has been contributing to the realization of the priorities of NEPAD, serving as an important framework for partnership. With the support of the increasing number of co-organizers, as mentioned above, TICAD has grown into an international forum with participants from African and partner countries, international and regional organizations, the private sector, and civil society. 2013 was indeed a special year to hold TICAD 5, as it marked the 10th anniversary of African Peer Review Mechanism, the 20th anniversary of the TICAD process, and the 50th anniversary of OAU-AU. The outcome documents of TICAD 5, the Yokohama Declaration 2013, and the Yokohama Action 2013 to 2017 align the conference agenda for the coming 5 years with the continental priority objectives and initiatives of the African Union and NEPAD. As the report of the Secretary General A/68/222 has stated, such alignment will foster implementation of continental programs in ways that enable Africa to meet its development needs effectively and ensure African ownership and leadership of its development agenda. Also at TICAD 5, Japan committed to provide assistance package for Africa, utilizing private and public means up to $32 billion, including ODA of $14 billion. Emphasis is on infrastructure development and human resources development, areas where African countries and the Japanese private sector showed strong interest. For their part, African countries committed themselves to making infrastructure development their top priority through the Program of Infrastructure Development in Africa, PIDA, as mentioned in the report of the Secretary General. In order to strengthen and diversify sectors that will foster robust and sustainable growth, Japan strongly supports PIDA by utilizing its financial assistance amounting to $6.5 billion for infrastructure. What Africa needs now is private sector investment. Japan will leverage private investment in Africa by public-private partnership, including provision of public finances. Madam President, agriculture and food security are also key issues in Africa. In particular, rural development with special care for women and smallholder farmers also contributes to poverty eradication. Japan welcomes the fact that African countries are collectively committed through the Comprehensive Africa Agriculture Development Program to annually increasing their agricultural productivity by 6% and allocating 10% of their national budgets towards agricultural investment. Along with that initiative, Japan will continue to support the efforts of the Coalition for African Rice Development, which seeks to double rice production in sub-Saharan Africa to 28 million tons by 2018. Prime Minister of Japan, Mr. Shinzo Abe, held a summit roundtable on agricultural development with the African Regional Economic Communities, NEPAD, and TICAD co-organizers during the high-level week of the General Assembly in September, and reaffirmed the strategic approach of TICAD 5 to empower farmers as mainstream economic actors. Climate change is another serious issue. as many of Africa's major economic sectors, such as agriculture, livestock, and fisheries, are being increasingly severely impacted by it. Africa's efforts to address climate change include the African Strategy on Climate Change and African Drought Risk Preparedness and Resilience. Japan has been contributing to this effort through ODA projects, including the African Adaptation Program. Japan also made a commitment of financial support on the occasion of TICAD 5, amounting to $2 billion to promote low-carbon energy. Health constitutes the foundation of human development for growth, and progress in the field of health is essential to meet the MDGs. The Yokohama Declaration decided that universal health coverage should be promoted throughout Africa. Japan will promote universal health coverage in Africa with the goal that all people will be able to receive basic health services. At TICAD 5, Japan announced that it had set aside $500 million to address health issues in Africa and has been setting up training programs for some 120,000 health and medical service providers. Also in his address to General Assembly in September, Prime Minister Abe announced his intention to make an appropriate contribution at the upcoming fourth replenishment of the Global Fund to fight AIDS, tuberculosis, and malaria. TICAD has made clear that peace and stability are fundamental prerequisites for social economic development in Africa. African initiatives such as African Peace and Security Architecture, in close cooperation with RECs and APRM, play a pivotal role in peacekeeping in Africa. Japan will assist APRM and other programs to promote good governance in 30 countries. Also, Japan will assist the capacity of the AU/RECs to implement their initiatives on peace and stability, including financial support to funds. Human security is an effective approach that focuses on individuals and helps build societies in which everyone can live with dignity. By protecting and empowering individuals and communities that are exposed to actual or potential threats. A General Assembly resolution on human security was adopted by consensus last year. Japan is determined to contribute to further promoting human security in all parts of the world in collaboration with all stakeholders. This is true in the case of Africa, since human security was included as one of the overarching principles in the Yokohama Declaration 2013. Madam President, TICAD 5 welcomed the AUC as a new co-organizer, which made TICAD, in a true sense, an African-owned, African-led, and African-managed process in cooperation with the United Nations system, the World Bank, and Japan. Japan sincerely hopes to strengthen both the ownership of African countries and partnership with development partners in the TICAD process. We are also considering ways in which civil society and the private sector, whose involvement are critical for long-term self-sustained development of Africa, can be further incorporated into this process. Madam President, let me conclude my statement by reaffirming Japan's unwavering long-term commitment to African development. Thank you very much.
I thank the distinguished representative of Japan, and I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Ethiopia, who will deliver a statement on behalf of the African states.
Madam President, I'm speaking on behalf of the Africa Group. This is an item which is of great importance for Africa. This, in fact, is an understatement. I should say it is of vital importance for Africa. I like to express our deep appreciation to the Secretary General for his leadership and commitment in trying to put Africa's agenda at the center of the work of the United Nations system. We associate ourselves fully in advance with what will Dr. Ibrahim Mayaki, Chief Executive Officer of NEPAD Planning and Coordinating Agency, will be saying later in his statement. Madam President, the year 2013 is an important year for Africa, as it marks the golden jubilee of our continental organizations, the OAU-AU. It is in this context that we wish to underline the important role that NEPAD has played as a common and shared vision for Africa's renewal. The vision of NEPAD is one that is premised on the need for Africa to take its rightful place in the global system based on self-defined transformative agenda and ownership. The Constitutive Act of the African Union sets out the core values and principles that are necessary if the continent is to achieve democracy and economic development. While NEPAD seeks to implement these values and principles in a concrete manner on the ground. Indeed, over the years, NEPAD has matured into the flagship development program of the African Union. Its programmatic activities in the priority areas of infrastructure, agriculture, health, technology, and others have promoted stronger African ownership through active and effective cooperation with partners. NEPAD has also been contributing immensely to the transformation of the policy design and implementation of Africa's development objectives. In the same vein, the African peer review mechanism has enabled the continent to learn from each other's experiences on issues of economic, political, and social governance. Because of these milestones, Africa has indeed witnessed a new era of renewed momentum, and the foundation for the renaissance of Africa is being laid. Over the last decade, several African economies have entered a high growth trajectory, and the number of conflicts affecting our continent has also slowly subsided. Moreover, we are witnessing improved governance with a resurgence of a democratic dispensation in many of our countries. No longer is a continent the marginalized part of the world and fit only for consideration from the perspective of humanitarian assistance. Even during difficult times globally, Africa has continued to register growth. No doubt, for us to achieve more, the global situation has to improve, including financing for development and the multilateral trading system. In this regard, we wish to agree with the comments and recommendations reflected in the report of the Secretary General. However, Madam President, despite this significant progress in accelerating growth and social development, as reflected in the same report, persistent challenges, including limited progress towards the attainment of the Millennium Development Goals and the ambitious Africa 2063 vision, remain serious challenges. Negative global realities have continued to influence Africa's development outlook since the turn of the new millennium. The global financial and economic crisis, worsened by the fiscal disarray and climate change, have impacted directly and indirectly Africa's progress. It is in light of this that we feel that Africa has done its level best to address the very many challenges it's facing, which have justified the appeal contained in the Millennium Declaration, and subsequently in a series of commitments made in the outcomes of international conferences in favor of Africa's special situation. But obviously, without getting into the details, by no means can we assert that commitments made to Africa have been delivered. This can be seen in the lack of sufficient progress made with respect to the MDGs. The implementation of MDG 8 has left in this regard much to be desired. Indeed, a few countries have made notable progress on a large number of MDGs, but overall, the progress made has been largely disappointing. That's why there is a need to do more in the remaining period of the MDGs until 2015. It's also for this reason, Madam President, that we call on the international community, including the UN, to redouble its efforts in ensuring that these challenges are overcome. In this regard, it is our considered view that the international community has a responsibility to meet its commitments made to Africa in light of its being in a special situation. There is a large deficit here. This needs to be addressed in the remaining period of the MDGs and in connection with the post-2015 agenda and when sustainable development goals are crafted. Here, I wish to emphasize that the priority areas of NEPAD need to be front and center. On our part, Madam President, I wish to assure this August Assembly that Africa will continue to do its best to achieve the vision of an integrated, prosperous, and peaceful Africa driven by its own citizens and representing a dynamic force in the global arena. I should conclude by thanking all those who have stood with us and will, I'm sure, continue to stand behind us. I thank you, Madam President.
I thank the distinguished representative of Ethiopia. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of China.
主席女士，当前非洲国家和平与发展事业处于新的关键阶段，非洲经济蓬勃向上，成为全球经济增长最快的地区之一。非洲国家联合自强，不断迈向新步伐。 积极推进一体化进程，保持了稳定和发展的良好势头。执行非洲发展新伙伴计划取得长足进展，国际地位日益提高。同时，受国际金融危机、全球经济复苏缓慢等因素影响，非洲国家外部发展环境恶化。
局部地区冲突和热点问题持续不断，人道主义危机加剧，非洲求和平谋稳定，促发展面临巨大挑战。在非洲发展新伙伴计划第二个十年开始之际，国际社会应继续加大对非洲的关注 和投入，推动在执行非洲发展新伙伴计划方面取得更大进展，促进非洲稳定与繁荣。非洲是国际社会大家庭的重要一员。
非洲的和平与安全与国际社会其他成员的利益和福祉息息相关。如何有效帮助非洲国家应对安全挑战，实现持久和平与可持续发展，是摆在国际社会面前的重要课题。中方愿提出以下建议：第一，切实履行对非洲的各项承诺。国际社会应努力扩大对非援助规模，发达国家应兑现官方发展援助承诺，从资金、技术和能力建设等方面帮助非洲。发展中国家应通过加强南南合作帮助非洲国家，分享减贫和发展经验，补充南北合作，实现共同发展。国际社会应努力改善非洲的发展环境，包括在金融、贸易、减免债务等方面加大对非洲的支持。第二，2015年后发展议程应加大对非洲的重视。国际社会应继续帮助非洲加速实现千年发展目标，同时在制定2015年后发展议程时，优先关注非洲面临的特殊挑战和发展需求，确保与非洲发展新伙伴计划优先领域保持一致，以消除贫困为核心，促进非洲的全面发展。第三，尊重非洲国家的自主权。国际社会应尊重非洲现实条件与非洲国家的意愿，支持其自主解决非洲事务的能力，同时在与非洲国家开展技术、经济技术合作时，应充分考虑非洲国家的国情，照顾非洲国家的关切，给予非洲国家充分的政策空间，实现互利共赢和共同发展。第四，支持非洲国家实现和平与稳定的努力。近年来，非洲形势不稳定，不确定性较浅突出，地区热点问题此起彼伏，恐怖主义等非传统安全威胁扩大。国际社会应坚持联合国宪章的宗旨和原则，在充分尊重非洲国家的主权独立和领土完整的基础上，积极劝和促谈，以和平方式解决有关分歧。同时，国际社会还应加强同非盟和非洲区域组织的协调配合，切实帮助非洲加强集体安全机制建设，支持非洲人以非洲方式解决非洲问题。主席女士，中国与非洲国家从来都是命运共同体，共同的历史遭遇、发展任务和战略利益把我们紧紧联系在一起。中非关系的本质特征是真诚友好、相互尊重、平等互利、共同发展。中国和非洲新型战略伙伴关系建立以来，中国同非洲各国和非盟等地区组织关系深入发展。中国积极支持非洲一体化建设，不断加大对非洲发展新伙伴计划的支持力度。2012年，中非贸易额接近2000亿美元，中非人员往来超过150万次。截至2012年，中国对非洲的直接投资累计超过150亿美元。今年是中国向非洲派遣医疗队50周年。50年 累计派出 1.8 万人次的医疗人员，诊治了 2.5 人次的非洲患者。今年三月，习近平主席访问非洲时，阐述了真实亲诚的中非合作理念，并宣布了一系列支持非洲发展的新举措，包括落实好三年内向非洲提供200亿美元贷款额度的承诺，实施好非洲跨国跨区域基础设施建设合作伙伴关系，积极实施非洲人才计划，未来三年为非洲国家培训30000名各类人才，提供1.8万个奖学金留学生名额，加强对非洲技术转让和经验分享等。中国还积极落实中非和平安全合作伙伴倡议，不断加大建设性参与非洲和安事务的力度，为非洲经济社会发展创造条件。中国积极参与联合国在非洲的维和行动，目前共有1400名官兵在非洲的6个联合国维和任务区执行任务。中国不断加强对非洲国家、非盟和非洲次区域组织维和能力建设的支持，向非盟提供了5000万人民币无偿的军援，以支持非洲自主解决本地区问题的能力。主席女士，中国的发展离不开非洲，离不开世界。中国永远把非洲当作自己的患难之交。13亿多中国人民正致力于实现中华民族伟大复兴的中国梦。10亿多非洲人民正致力于实现联合自强、发展振兴的非洲梦。中国愿与非洲国家携手努力，继续拓展深化全方位合作，推动中非关系朝着合作共赢、共圆梦想的方向迈进。谢谢主席女士。
I thank the distinguished representative of China. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Egypt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Let me at the outset thank the Secretary General, the Special Advisor for Africa, and the Chief Executive Officer of NEPAD for the reports on the progress in the implementation of the new Partnership for African Development, NEPAD, the causes of conflict in Africa, and the decade to roll back malaria in developing countries, particularly in Africa. NEPAD represents Africa's aspiration to take its own matters into its own hands. It is an African-owned instrument aimed at reducing poverty and putting Africa on a sustainable development path. NEPAD reflects Africa's common vision to achieve its development goals in specific thematic areas: agriculture and food security, regional integration and infrastructure, human development, information and communication technology. In the last few years, NEPAD has achieved a new mandate through the adoption of a new approach. It is working to change its management from a sector-based approach to programmatic and thematic activities. Egypt is a proud founding member of NEPAD. We have proposed an ambitious infrastructure project on establishing a navigation route from Lake Victoria to the Mediterranean through the Nile, serving the economies of the Nile Basin and surrounding countries. NEPAD's development focus is complemented by the governance focus of the African Peer Review Mechanism. This year marks the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the establishment and operationalization of the peer review mechanism. It currently has 33 members that have joined voluntarily, representing more than 75% of all African countries and the total African population. The African peer review mechanism is another manifestation of Africa's commitment to enhance good governance and the respect for human rights and democratic values. African governments and their partners must double their efforts to build stronger partnerships with the private sector and civil society, in addition to the mobilization of adequate resources to sustain inclusive economic growth that is more resilient to external shocks, and ensuring that growth dividends are shared by all segments of society, including the most vulnerable. Egypt is doing its part through a specific fund for Africa that finances a number of development programs in many African countries. Achieving NEPAD objectives requires the support of the international community. It requires the creation of a conducive environment that supports fair trading terms, alleviates the debt burden on African countries, increases foreign direct investment, and enhances Africa's participation in the international economic decision-making processes. Within the UN system, this will mean the integration of the NEPAD agenda and programs within the Sustainable Development Goals process, as well as the broader post-2015 development agenda. It is important to emphasize the need to sustain and consolidate the Office of the Special Advisor for Africa as the leading UN entity dedicated to advancing African issues. The Office of the Special Advisor for Africa needs to be empowered to undertake its role mandated by the General Assembly to address the special needs of African development, coordinate the Interagency Task Force on African Affairs, and monitor the delivery of the many international commitments towards financing development of Africa. Madam Chair, the international community has achieved significant progress in the elimination of malaria in developing countries, halving the death per year. However, malaria still kills hundreds of thousands every year, 90% of them in Africa. We recognize the vital role played by the African Leaders Malaria Alliance, ALMA, the initiative that combats malaria in the African continent specifically. It is instrumental in helping to sustain the efforts exerted by African governments, particularly in the areas of prevention, access to medicine, and diagnostic techniques. Malaria has serious negative repercussions. It costs the world almost $12 billion per year. In order to succeed in combating malaria, the international community should provide enough resources for programs aiming at early diagnosis, as well as scientific research and production of the necessary medicines, vaccines, and pesticides in Africa, including through addressing the issue of intellectual property rights for basic malaria medicines and pesticides. Eliminating malaria requires a multi-sectoral approach that treats malaria not just as a disease, but addresses the developmental and social aspects of it. This includes providing clean water, infrastructure projects, and healthy housing, among others. The international community needs to encourage continued technical and financial support for malaria programs in African countries. Finally, Madam Chair, it is important to mention the interlinkage between peace, security, and development. There is a need to focus development strategies to address the interconnected peace and development challenges. Egypt calls for a comprehensive approach by all stakeholders, including African states, the United Nations, the African Union, and African sub-regional organizations, and of course, international partners, to address challenges for peace and security in Africa. This approach should utilize all the available tools within these organizations and with the partners in the areas of preventive diplomacy, peacekeeping, and peace building in order to address the root causes of conflict in Africa. Thank you for your attention.
I thank the distinguished representative of Egypt, and I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Libya.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السيدة الرئيسة في البداية أود أن أتقدم بالشكر لمعالي الأمين العام على تقاريره المقدمة حول البند موضوع النقاش كما أتقدم بالشكر لسعادة السفير ماجد عبد العزيز المستشار الخاص للأمين العام لأفريقيا على كل ما يبذله من جهود لصالح القارة الأفريقية كما أعبر عن تضامن وفد بلادي مع ما جاء في بيان أثيوبيا باسم الدول الأفريقية السيدة الرئيسة إن الشراكة من أجل التنمية أفريقيا النباد التي انطلقت منذ أكثر من 10 سنوات مضت تمثل شراكة تجسد الانتماء إلى أفريقيا باعتبارها الأداة التي من خلالها يعرب القادة الأفارقة عن التزامهم ببرنامج تنمية القارة واتخاذ زمام المبادرة لتنفيذه بما يتضمنه من عناصر تتعلق بالهياكل الأساسية والزراعية والحوكمة باعتبارها عناصر أساسية لتحقيق رؤية قارة كاملة متكاملة ومزدهرة ويعمها السلام وبالرغم مما تم تحقيقه من تقدم خلال السنوات الماضية من خلال دفع عجلة النمو والتنمية الاجتماعية إلا أنه لا زالت تواجه القارة كثيرا من التحديات التي تعيق تقدمها لتحقيق الأهداف الأنمائية للألفية ولمساعدة القارة في هذا الأمر فإنه يتوجب على شركاء التنمية مضاعفة الجهود للوفاء بالالتزامات المتعلقة بتنمية القارة بما في ذلك المتعلقة بالمعونة إضافة إلى ضرورة إنهاء حالة الجمود في مفاوضات الدوحة التجارية والعمل على التوصل إلى اتفاق بشان قضايا محددة بما يمكن الدول الأفريقية من تصريف منتجاتها في الأسواق العالمية السيدة الرئيسة فيما يتعلق بالغذاء لا بد من بذل المزيد من الجهود لزيادة الإنتاج الزراعي تمشياً مع الإعلان بشأن الزراعة والأمن الغذائي وإعادة ترتيب أوليات الاستثمار في الزراعة من أجل تحفيز الاستثمار الخاص وباعتبار أن القارة الأفريقية من أشد المناطق تضرراً من آثار الأزمة المالية والاقتصادية العالمية وبالرغم من عودة النمو على الصعيد العالمي والذي لا يزال هشاً ومتفاوتاً إلا أن الأمر يتطلب تعزيز الجهود الوطنية لتحقيق الأمن الغذائي في أفريقيا من خلال زيادة حصة النفقات المخصصة للزراعة والتنمية الريفية في ميزانيات الدول الأفريقية وضمان أسلوب أفضل للإدارة وفي هذا الشأن يمكن للمجتمع الدولي توفير الدعم المالي والتكنولوجي والمهارات الزراعية الحديثة التي تساعد على زيادة الإنتاج وتحسين نوعيته إضافة إلى ذلك وبالنظر لما يمثله التصحر وتدهور الأراضي والجفاف في أفريقيا من أثر سلبي على جهود القارة لتحقيق تنميتها فعلى المجتمع الدولي تقديم المساعدة في إطار تنفيذ اتفاقية الأمم المتحدة لمكافحة التصحر في البلدان التي تعاني من الجفاف الشديد أو التصحر في أفريقيا تعزيزاً للجهود الإقليمية المبذولة في هذا الصدد السيدة الرئيسة فيما يخص السلام والأمن في أفريقيا هناك حاجة إلى زيادة التعاون المؤسسي مع أفريقيا ومنع نشوب النزاعات وحفظ السلام وإدارة المنازعات وبناء السلام والانتعاش بعد انتهاء النزاع والنمو الاقتصادي المطرد والتنمية المستدامة وحقوق الإنسان وسيادة القانون وإقامة العدل ودعم إصلاح قطاع الأمن ونزع السلاح وتوطيد الديمقراطية وترسيخ سيادة القانون والحكم الرشيد لتحقيق الاستقرار السياسي والاقتصادي في أفريقيا. وفي هذا الإطار ينبغي لمنظومة الأمم المتحدة وللدول الأعضاء والشركاء الآخرين مواصلة مساعدة الدول الأفريقية في جهودها في هذا الشأن بهدف تعزيز السلام والاستقرار في القارة. وفي الختام يؤكد وفد بلادي بأن ليبيا باعتبارها طرفاً في مبادرة النباد سوف تستمر في العمل بالفعالية مع الدول الأفريقية لأجل الدفع بالشراكة الجديدة لتنمية أفريقيا الهادفة إلى تحقيق التقدم والنمو والازدهار للبلدان الأفريقية من خلال التنسيق والعمل المشترك والالتزام باتفاقية التعاون التي تم إبرامها مع العديد من البلدان الأفريقية حتى تحقق القارة الأهداف الأنمائية للألفية وتأخذ دورها الفعال في النظام الاقتصادي الدولي وتهيئ نفسها لأهداف التنمية المستدامة لما بعد العام 2015، خاصة وإنها قارة تمتلك الموارد البشرية والطبيعية اللازمة لتحقيق طموحاتها. وشكرا سيدة الرئيسة.
I thank the distinguished representative of Libya and I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of South Africa.
Thank you very much, Madam President. At the outset, we would like to align ourselves with the statement delivered by the distinguished permanent representative of Ethiopia on behalf of the Africa Group. My delegation would like to express its appreciation to the Secretary General for his comprehensive report on NEPAD. The report coincides with a number of significant milestones for the African continent. The first of these is the 50th anniversary of the founding of the Organization of African Unity, the African Union. In the current year, the African peer review mechanism marks 10 years since its inception in 2003. South Africa welcomes the report of the Secretary General on the progress of the implementation of NEPAD over the past years. We'd also like to express our sincere gratitude to Dr. Ibrahim Hassan Mayak, the Chief Executive Officer of NEPAD, for the enriching briefings they have been providing throughout the NEPAD week. These briefings have been timely and opportune in the light of the ongoing discussions of the post-2015 development agenda here at the UN. Madam President, the inherent message that has emanated from the various engagements throughout this NEPAD week is that Africa is transforming. In comparison from the period after decolonization, when we were casted as the dark and hopeless continent, years later, the narrative has positively changed and would like to ensure that this narrative continues to improve with Vision 2063. NEPAD has been a crucial blueprint for Africa in response to socio-economic transformation. It has been particularly important in the contribution to the achievement of the Millennium Development Goals, MDGs. However, as the African continent is still lagging behind a number of the MDGs, it is important to redouble our efforts in the time remaining to focus on the MDGs that are challenging us. Importantly, it will also be imperative that the new development agenda is aligned and coherent with the needs of Africa and builds on the current existing MDGs. In the past couple of years, NEPAD has yielded some positive results. It has and is continuing to transform historical legacies, such as the lack of interconnectedness in the continent. Through NEPAD's infrastructural programs, various corridors are being created to aid in boosting intra-Africa trade as well as development within the continent. For instance, the North-South Corridor, a road and a rail project from Cape to Cairo, which is currently championed by South Africa and a number of other projects being championed by other countries in the fields of ICT, road and rail, gas pipelines. On the agricultural front, South Africa notes that the Comprehensive Africa's Agricultural Development Program has steadily grown in importance as a result of increasing participation from AU member states. It is impressive that 34 of the members which have signed the CADEP compact and 23 having finalized their national agricultural investment plans. What is significant to note about CADEP is that it is an African initiative which addresses the agricultural development needs in the continent, which is important as the majority of economies in Africa are agrarian. CADEP is contributing positively to the fight to eradicate poverty as many countries are increasing their resource provision in agriculture. Madam President, on the APRM, my delegation remains encouraged by the steady progress of accession despite the voluntary nature of the mechanism, and also noting that the APRM mechanism is the first of its kind in the African continent, an Afrocentric program which promotes good governance within the African continent. However, the challenges relating to financing of APRM needs to be addressed so as to not hamper the effectiveness of the mechanism. South Africa has no doubt that these challenges will be overcome as Africa strives to consolidate the governance gains already registered as the result of the APRM. We continue to appreciate efforts by donor countries that continuously support our initiatives and also call on the international community to continue rendering their support, particularly at this crucial time when ODA is on the decline. South Africa remains committed to supporting the continent's blueprint for socio-economic development as well as the APRM. We will continue through the African Renaissance Fund of South Africa to provide funds for projects within Africa that are developmental in nature and thus meet the NEPAD objectives. The South African Development Partnership Agency, SADPA, that will replace the African Renaissance Fund will also continue to provide development assistance. Madam President, the goal of people having access to the highest attainable standard of physical and mental health remains far from being achieved. Non-communicable diseases like cancers, cardiovascular diseases like TB, malaria, HIV, and AIDS are of global concern. In the light of the discussion here today on malaria, though noticeable progress has been made and recorded in Africa in malaria control since 2011, my delegation adds its voice in the call to strengthen the fight against malaria. We will continue to support the African Leaders Malaria Alliance. We would like to express our appreciation to the efforts of the Rollback Malaria Partnership and other partners in the relentless efforts to fight against malaria. One of our own compatriots, Yvonne Chaka Chaka, is the Rollback Malaria Goodwill Ambassador and is continuing to do a phenomenal job in mobilizing resources for the plight of people who are facing the challenges of malaria. On peace and security issues, my delegation concurs with the Secretary General's observation that lessons learned from the conflict and post-conflict countries demonstrate that there can be no peace without development and that neither can occur without respect for human rights. Since the establishment of the African Union peace and security architecture, the number of conflicts in the continent has significantly decreased. This can further be enhanced with the collaboration and support of African initiatives by the United Nations. South Africa is encouraged by the continued cooperation between the African Union and the AU, particularly the AU Peace and Security Council and the UN Security Council. We appreciate the annual consultative meetings between the two councils. There have been a number of milestones that are testament to the benefit of this relationship, such as the adoption of Resolution 2033. In instances where the two councils have cooperated positively, results have been yielded, such as in the case of AMISOM, UNAMID, and the endorsement of the AU roadmap on Sudan and South Sudan into Resolution 2046 of the Security Council, UNISFA, and the Joint Assessment Mission into the Sahel region. However, it is important that this relationship transcends into the whole UN system as to support regional economic communities. Madam President, in conclusion, we would like to express our gratitude to the Special Advisor on Africa and his team for the sterling job that they continue to do in streamlining the African agenda in the work of the United Nations. Given the increasing volume of the work on Africa and the need to follow up on a number of decisions and commitments that have been made, it is important that that office be strengthened. I thank you, Madam President.
I thank the distinguished representative of South Africa, and I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Indonesia.
Madam President, Indonesia at the outset associates itself with the statement made by the distinguished representative of Brunei Darussalam on behalf of ASEAN. Indonesia would like to express its gratitude to the Secretary General for his comprehensive reports pertaining to the agenda items we are deliberating today. Madam President, without a doubt, Africa is making noteworthy progress 12 years after NEPAD was adopted. Nevertheless, tremendous challenges still lie ahead for Africa. We are also aware that efforts to accelerate African economic growth are hindered by very substantial obstacles. The African countries have tried in their own right, made strides to overcome the obstacles by expanding their link to the world economy. Yet, it is not an effort that can be achieved by African countries alone. Creating sustained growth and peace requires partnership and cooperation. Global partnership and international support underpins NEPAD's success. Bilateral and triangular cooperation, as well as South-South cooperation, are important components of the global partnership. Ensuring an equitable global trading and financial system is central to creating sustained growth. The WTO trade talks, however, have yet to reach any satisfactory and meaningful conclusion. The 9 ministerial conference of the WTO in Bali, Indonesia, in this coming month, in December 2013, is one such opportunity to reverse the deadlock in trade talks. It should strive to strengthen multilateral trade rules, avoid protectionism, and sustain the levels of global trade, including on an agreement for issues affecting Africa. On its part, Indonesia, through the new Asia-Africa Strategic Partnership, NASP, and the Non-Aligned Movement Center for South-South Technical Cooperation in Jakarta, have built a solid base for extensive cooperation with Africa. Indonesia has assisted in capacity building for agriculture and food security. We are continuously working with a number of countries in Africa to develop rice fields with varieties that suit the continent's weather and farming conditions. Furthermore, we should not forget that public-private and private-private partnerships play an important role in expanding Africa's creative capacities. Madam President, economic growth requires peaceful conditions. Indeed, the number of armed conflicts in Africa has steadily declined from around 30 at the end of the Cold War to little more than a dozen. From only three democracies, today there are 25 democracies of varying types in the region. However, conflicts are still occurring and peace remains fragile in a number of places. Peacemaking, peace building, and development will therefore need to be continually deepened. For that, the African citizens with their chosen leadership must drive their progress. Lasting success requires robust support from and collaboration with the UN and partners. But sustainable results ultimately rests in the hands of Africans themselves. Thus, the principle of national ownership, which has been steadfastly advocated, particularly in the Peace Building Commission, remains as the imperative principle. Indonesia commends in this regard the important progress and developments on the ground, among others in Liberia with the launching of its national reconciliation strategy and the successful elections in Sierra Leone. We underline in this regard that support from the international community and the United Nations in assisting post-conflict recovery in various countries in the region must also require deepened cooperation and partnerships not only with host governments concerned, but also regional and sub-regional organizations. For its part, Indonesia stands ready to work with the UN, particularly through its active contribution in UN peacekeeping operation, its membership in the Peacebuilding Commission, and its persistent role in advancing mediation and conflict prevention. Madam President, unprecedented efforts have been invested to fight malaria for more than a decade. Yet, malaria remains a serious problem. The prevalence of malaria, particularly among children and pregnant women, remain alarmingly high, especially in the African region. Therefore, in the 700th countdown of the MDGs, we need to further accelerate efforts at all levels to halt malaria by 2015. And upon that moment, let us seize the opportunity to reverse the incidence of malaria. At the global level, the highest burden countries, especially in the African region, require accelerated efforts, including financial assistance to procure and distribute life-saving interventions. Although the Global Malaria Action Plan has contributed significantly, strengthening and innovation on financing mechanisms is inevitable. We also need to further develop our capacity to track progress in malaria control. The global capacity can currently detect only 1/10 of the estimated global number of cases. We need to further develop and strengthen malaria surveillance systems, including at the regional level. At the national level, we have to continue putting the fight against malaria as a priority and integrate it into the national health policy and framework. To reach the zero malaria goal requires a multi-sectoral approach and cooperation going beyond the health sector. In this connection, Indonesia welcomes the launch of the framework and roadmap on a multi-sectoral approach to malaria during the 68th session of UNGA high-level period. We hope that the framework could serve as the strategic platform for multilateral cooperation and coordination in eradicating malaria. Finally, Madam President, it is important to keep in mind that Africa should and must be given a chance to find solutions that concretely addressing their own situations and realities by touching upon their basic needs. Only through such mechanism that we could see the equal achievement in Africa as well as in any other parts of the world. I thank you, Madam President.
I thank the distinguished representative of Indonesia, and I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Pakistan.
Madam President, We thank the Secretary General for reports on the agenda item under consideration today. We congratulate African countries on the 50th anniversary on the creation of Organization of African Unity, African Union now, and on the 10th anniversary of the unique initiative, the African Peer Review Mechanism. Africa is transforming, Madam President. Africa today is determining its own destiny. The weak global economic performance notwithstanding, African GDP grew by average of 6.6% in 2012. 7 out of 10 fastest growing countries in the world are in Africa. 18% decline in global FDI notwithstanding, flows to Africa increased in 2012. Higher trade growth in Africa as a whole, despite deceleration in international trade in 2012, is a notable exception. Africa today is progressing through Africa-owned and Africa-led frameworks. The new Partnership for Africa's Development represents Africa's leadership's vision on the continent's socio-economic progress. The projects like Trans-Sahara Highway and Gas Pipeline are clear demonstration of Africa's resolve to unlock its immense socio-economic development potential. The commitment and progress on the achieving the budgetary allocation targets set for health and agriculture sectors underline Africa's seriousness on realizing the promise of a better future. Africa has taken up the challenges to its peace and security head-on, and it is determined to succeed. It has established a solid peace and security architecture. Successes in Somalia, Sierra Leone, Liberia, and Cote d'Ivoire in conflict resolution and management prove that Africa is forging ahead. The conduct of successful elections and progress towards greater political stability is increasingly replacing the narrative of conflict in Africa. Madam President, though Africa's response to opportunities is commendable, yet challenges remain. They range from bridging gaps on MDGs achievements to ensuring food security, employment generation, particularly for the youth, mobilizing financing for its huge infrastructure and industrialization requirements. Despite progress, health challenges, including those related to malaria, continue to cause tragic loss of life in Africa. According to the WHO, for Africa, the funding gap for malaria commodities and their distribution for 2013 and 15 is US$3.6 billion. The continued and strengthened international support to Africa's development effort is therefore vital. The recent decline in ODA as well as aid for trade indicates that pledges are not being translated into action. International support also is essential to assist Africa to overcome setbacks to its peace and security. Madam President, Pakistan has a long-standing and abiding commitment to the stability and progress in Africa. Our economic and trade relations with Africa are growing. In 2012 and 2013, we organized Africa shows in Pakistan to further cement our economic and commercial ties. We continue to work with partners from Africa in social, economic, and technical spheres in the context of South-South cooperation. Since 1986, under Pakistan's Special Technical Assistance Program for Africa, hundreds of young African professionals have received training in Pakistan in diverse fields, including public administration, management, banking, customs, accounting, and diplomacy. Pakistani peacekeepers have contributed to peacekeeping, peacemaking, and peacebuilding in Africa. More than 132 of our peacekeepers have laid down their lives, 119 of them in Africa. Today, out of 8,221 Pakistani troops in 6 peacekeeping missions, 8,075 are deployed in Africa. We will continue our collaboration with Africa. Madam President, the international community has started deliberations on post-2015 development agenda. We wish to underline that this agenda must also respond to Africa's needs and priorities. The international community's commitment to assisting Africa realize its aspirations is critical. Pakistan wishes Africa success and glory. I thank you, Madam President.
I thank the distinguished representative of Pakistan, and I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Malaysia.
Madam President, I wish to thank you for convening this joint debate. Malaysia wishes to align itself to the statements delivered by the distinguished permanent representative of Fiji on behalf of the Group of 77 and China, and the distinguished permanent representative of Brunei Darussalam on behalf of ASEAN. I also would like to express our appreciation to the Secretary General for the comprehensive reports submitted under the agenda item 63. Malaysia also would like to take this opportunity to congratulate our African friends on the 10th anniversary of the African Peer Review Mechanism and on its achievements so far. This 10-year celebration is more significant as it coincides with the 50th anniversary of the African Union and the 10th anniversary of the establishment of the United Nations Office of the Special Advisor on Africa, tasked with global advocacy and support for Africa's development, in particular the new Partnership for Africa's Development, NEPAD. Madam President, Malaysia attaches great importance to its relation and cooperation with Africa, especially in the area of peace and security, trade, investment, and holistic development of the region. We truly believe that under the solidarity of the South-South cooperation, the relations between Malaysia and countries in Africa have been enhanced through cooperation and mutual respect. As reflected in the UNCTAD report on the rise of BRICS and Africa in March 2013, Malaysia is the biggest Asian source of foreign direct investment to Africa. Malaysia was the third biggest investor in Africa in 2011 after the United States and France, with a total of US$19.3 billion of investment in the continent. The investment from the Malaysian private sector has led to the creation of more decent jobs, transfer of knowledge and technology, and has assisted in projecting Africa as a vibrant investment destination in the world. Madam President, while we welcome the progress made by many of the African countries, Malaysia also acknowledges the challenges and difficulties faced by the African countries in achieving the Millennium Development Goals by 2015. The fresh call for accelerating the implementation of MDG made during the special event on MDG last September needs to be answered by the United Nations Development System and the developed partners. The decline of ODA for 2 years in a row has seriously undermined efforts to attain the MDGs, especially to the LDCs, including those in Africa. In this regard, Malaysia wishes to reaffirm our support and continue to be an active dialogue partner to Africa under the framework of South-South cooperation. Malaysia cooperates with African countries through the specific technical courses under the Malaysian Technical Cooperation Program, MTCP, and through a regular cooperation such as the MTCP, Japan International Cooperation Agency, Africa Collaboration. Malaysia has also entered into specific cooperation program with African countries through dialogue platforms such as the private sector involvement through the Malaysian South-South Association and Malaysia South-South Cooperation. As of end of 2012, a total of 6,797 participants from 45 African countries have benefited from the MTCP. And in conjunction with the 68th United Nations Day celebration held in Kuala Lumpur on 24th October 2013, MTCP has been accorded with the MDG Global Partnership for Development Award, a recognition for its outstanding contribution to the United Nations Development Goal. Madam President, Malaysia remains committed to promote the South-South cooperation in Africa, and in this regard, the Prime Minister led the Malaysian delegation to the Global Smart Partnership Dialogue 2013 held in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania from 28 June to 1 July 2013. The theme for GSPD 2013 was Leveraging Technology for Africa's Social Economic Transformation, the Smart Partnership Way. The dialogue was attended by 14 heads of state government from the African and Asian regions. During the dialogue, Malaysia shared with others its policies and direction towards achieving its vision to become a fully developed nation by the year 2020. The new policies and direction are science, technology and innovation, government transformation program, economic transformation program, national key result areas, and key performance index. Malaysia was pleased to participate in the GSPD 2013 and looks forward to participating at the next GSPD scheduled to be held in South Africa in 2014. Malaysia also wishes to reaffirm its commitment to host the future Smart Partnership Dialogue through the Langkawi Dialogue, International Dialogue, at a date to be announced in due course. Malaysia believes that Smart Partnership Dialogue is a good platform for Malaysia to continuously engage with other African countries besides bilateral engagements. Malaysia's presence during the dialogue in Africa and our commitment to host LID demonstrates our continuing support for Africa's economic development. Malaysia has since 1995 organized the LID. The dialogue has been successful in forging smart partnership between the governments and private sectors of the South. Since its inception, a total of 9 such dialogues have been held, aimed at the fostering of smart partnerships at all levels in society, engaging the political leadership, civil service, business, labour, civil societies, media, and the population at large. The success of the LID has prompted African countries to organise a similar dialogue in Southern Africa, known as Southern African International Dialogue, SAID. Madam President, Malaysia welcomes the progress made by African countries during the last 10 years of implementation of African Peer Review Mechanism, an initiative established under NEPAD. It has succeeded to fulfil its objective to encourage and build transformative leadership and constructive national dialogue among African countries through an inclusive and participatory self-assessment process. ARMPM has successfully fostered policies and practices that will lead to attainment of the NEPAD objectives of political stability, high economic growth and sustainable development, and accelerated sub-regional and continental economic integration. Though it is voluntary in nature, the increasing numbers of countries participating in this process signifies the importance that African countries attach to strengthening their institutions of governance. Malaysia hopes that more African countries will participate in this process in the future, hence further enhancing the development of Africa as a whole. We hope that these consolidated efforts will assist our African friends to achieve their goals. Madam President, turning now to the issue of malaria, Malaysia welcomes the launching of a roadmap on shared responsibility and global solidarity for AIDS, tuberculosis and malaria response in Africa for 2012-2015. Malaysia has also its fair share of experience on the malaria disease. However, we are pleased to report that Malaysia has achieved major success in virtually eliminating malaria from urban and other densely populated areas in the country. Over the past 50 years, the number of malaria cases in Malaysia has declined dramatically. In 1961, there was 243,470 malaria cases in Malaysia, and in 2010, the cases further decreased to 6,650. The continuous decline is the result of several effective strategies adopted by the government, which began with the malaria eradication program in the 1960s. Malaysia has built on its experience and past achievements to strengthen current efforts and secure further commitments towards malaria elimination by 2020. In order to achieve this, the National Strategic Plan for the Elimination of Malaria 2010-2020 was formulated with the objective of eliminating locally acquired malaria by 2020. Malaysia is committed to malaria elimination, as such elimination brings many benefits to the population and the economy of the country, such as reduction in health sector costs, reduced absenteeism, and improved level of education, productivity, and foreign investment. The elimination program will also ensure equality, as activities are required to be implemented at all levels to include those who are impoverished, marginalized, and vulnerable. Madam President, to conclude, Malaysia recognizes that while a lot has been achieved, there is still more work required to halt and reverse this epidemic. We are prepared to share our national experience in this regard. I thank you, Madam President.
I thank the distinguished representative of Malaysia, and I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Myanmar.
Madam President, at the outset, my delegation would like to express its appreciation to the Secretary General for his insightful and comprehensive report on this agenda. My delegation aligns itself with the statements made by the representative of Fiji on behalf of Group of 77 and China, and Brunei, Darussalam, on behalf of ASEAN, respectively. Madam President, the year 2013 is a special year for the development of Africa, since it coincides with the 10th anniversary of the introduction of African Peer Review Mechanism and the 50th anniversary of the founding of the OAU, now African Union. We welcome the designation of Africa Week and holding of commemorative activities at the United Nations during this week, highlighting the progress in implementation of NEPAD. We are pleased to witness the remarkable progress achieved by many African countries in recent years, which could substantially be attributable to the implementation of the NEPAD. Despite global economic and financial uncertainty, Africa's economic growth has been relatively positive as a result of its continued improvements in macroeconomic policy management, structural reforms, productions, and the export of commodities. It is gratifying to note that many African countries are among the world's fastest growing economies, and fewer Africans suffer from extreme poverty. We are also pleased that Africa has achieved great progress on the Millennium Development Goals. Madam President, despite all these positive developments, Africa is still facing many challenges. Millions of Africans still lack jobs, health care, and food. Many countries are having difficulties to meet the MDGs by 2015. Economic uncertainty, political instability, natural disasters, and decline in development assistance have hampered efforts of some African countries to develop their economy. Therefore, it is essential that NEPAD efforts should continue to address these challenges, particularly by prioritizing and mainstreaming issues of health, education, gender in the agenda. Madam President, peace and stability, prevalence of rule of law are prerequisite for sustainable economic development. It is encouraging to learn that majority of African countries have been experiencing stability. We recognized and commend the efforts made by the African Union and the regional economic communities in undertaking conflict prevention and mediation initiatives, such as finalizing a continental conflict prevention framework and developing support structures for mediation and conflict resolution. Therefore, we wish to add our voice in urging the international community, including the United Nations, to enhance their support and cooperation with the African Union and regional economic communities for conflict prevention, resolution, and mediation within the framework of the African Peace and Security Architecture and the United Nations 10-year capacity building program for the African Union. Madam President, we welcome the role of APRM in encouraging principal leadership and constructive national dialogue, thereby opening up more rooms for citizens in decision making. The increasingly positive trend towards wider democratic practices in Africa is also commendable. According to the report of the Secretary General, there were altogether 18 elections held in 2012, and another 17 are expected to be held in 2013. the regularity and frequency of elections have been fostering greater stability of the region in recent decades. Madam President, the progress made in the implementation of NEPAD and the success of APRM show the good leadership and capability of African leaders to bring more peace and development to their continent. At the same time, a strengthened and sustained global partnership will play a significant role in bringing about peace, stability, and development to the African nations. However, it is worrying to see that the assistance of development partners is declining. Even though development partners have committed to help Africa's development needs, including the implementation of NEPAD's priorities, ODA to Africa has dropped from more than $50 billion to $43 billion in recent years. We hope that the success made in all areas of NEPAD implementation and other ongoing governance and structural transformation will help in convincing development partners to honor their commitments. We are confident that with sustained external financial support, strong determination of the governments and peoples of Africa, and the sound economic management, the implementation of NEPAD will achieve greater progress and contribute to Africa's efforts to meet their MDGs. It is important for the international community, UN agency, and development partners to foster their assistance to the African people to ensure that Africa's priorities and needs are fully reflected in the post-2015 development agenda. Madam President, as one of the organizers of the historic Bandung Conference, Myanmar wishes to reiterate its importance attached to the spirit of friendship and solidarity with Africa. Like many countries in Africa, Myanmar is also a country in a rapid transition. In parallel with our efforts to promote peace, stability, and national reconciliation, we have opened up our economy with bold economic reforms and liberalizations of economic policy. This new political and economic climate in Myanmar has opened up greater opportunities and potential for promoting trade and economic relations with our African brothers. In concluding, my delegation would like to reiterate Myanmar's solidarity and strong support to the efforts of African countries to achieve greater progress in implementing NEPAD agenda for the benefits of the African peoples. I thank you, Madam President.
I thank the distinguished representative of Myanmar. In accordance with General Assembly Resolution 2011 of the 20th session of 11 October 1965 and Decision 56/475 of 15 August 2002, I now call on the observer for the African Union.
Madam President, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, this year marks the 50th anniversary of the Organization of African Unity and the 10th anniversary of two African Union flagship programs of the New Partnership for Africa's Development, NEPAD, the African Peer Review Mechanism and the Comprehensive Africa Agricultural Development Program. NEPAD has played a critical role in promoting democracy and good governance with the launch of the African Peer Review Mechanism, APRM, in 2003. The APRM is a bold, unique, and innovative approach to governance designed and implemented by Africans for Africans. Through the APRM, African countries diagnose governance deficiencies, share best practices, and commit to implement solutions. This includes implementing transparent, predictable and credible public policies captured in the national programs of action. As a result, APRM review findings have supported the institutionalization of domestic accountability, citizenship empowerment, and improved service delivery, thereby opening the political space for good governance. As a voluntary mechanism, membership has steadily increased to the current 33 African countries, showing significant progress in deepening of a peer review process. Madam President, the year 2013 also marks the 10th anniversary of the adoption of the Comprehensive Africa Agricultural Development Program, CADEP. Over the past decade, agriculture and food security has remained a top priority for the African Union and its NEPAD program. Africa has recently endorsed the sustaining CADEP momentum as the main framework for engagements with the declaration of the year 2014 as the African Union year for agriculture, food security, and nutrition. As of today, 50 countries have engaged in CADEP-related interventions, while 28 African countries have developed national agriculture and food security investment plans with technical support provided by the NEPAD agency. In mobilizing the necessary global partnership support for CADEP, NEPAD is engaging on the Scaling Up Nutrition Initiative and the G8's New Alliance for Nutrition and Food Security to achieve MDG 1. The future of African agriculture is brighter than 10 years ago, but a lot still needs to be done. In collaboration with the African Union Commission, regional economic communities and development partners, we recently launched the NEPAD Gender Climate Change Agriculture Program and the NEPAD Rural Futures Program. These initiatives specifically support women farmers and young entrepreneurs to enhance knowledge, skills, and foster rural transformation. Madam President, Africa is at a critical juncture in its quest for development effectiveness. Without a doubt, Africa has been making tangible economic progress. However, we must address increasing social inequalities and the urgent need to lift about 400 million people out of poverty. In response, we must implement appropriate strategies to provide employment for the additional 215 million young men and women in the next 10 years. Importantly, a major aspect of this strategy is to promote value addition and sustainable industrial development as a means to enhance growth, job creation, and economic transformation. With less than 1,000 days before the 2015 deadline, Africa has made remarkable progress towards attaining the Millennium Development Goals. However, challenges remain. Based on the decision of African leaders, multi-stakeholder consultations are being conducted to synthesize African priorities on the post-2015 development agenda. To this effect, a bold African common position is evolving under the High-Level Committee of African Heads of States and Government on the post-2015 agenda. This is being done in cooperation with the African groups at the United Nations and African Union. We therefore appeal that this common position, when finalized, should be taken into consideration in framing the post-2015 agenda and the SDGs in view of Africa's special needs. NEPAD is ready to fully engage in monitoring the post-2015 agenda on the continent. Madam President, for Africa to truly become the next growth pole, the mobilization and effective utilization of our own resources is paramount. In this equation, private and public partnerships will advance the ideals of Africa's transformation. African leaders have championed this cause as a compelling agenda to energize the ownership of a continent's development. NEPAD has completed the comprehensive study on domestic resource mobilization. This was conducted in partnership with the United Nations Economic Commission for Africa, UNDP, and the African Development Bank. Curtailing illicit financial flows from Africa is also a top priority. Late Prime Minister of Ethiopia, Meles Zenawi, who chaired NEPAD for 6 years, once stated, and I quote, "Without the private sector, there is no development. Our policy is to have rapid and equitable growth, but you cannot achieve this objective without a clear division of labor in partnership with the public and private sectors. Overall, regional integration remains the pathway to equitable and inclusive growth on an accelerated economic scale. NEPAD continues to strongly collaborate with the regional economic communities who are the catalyst for implementation of regional projects." Madam President, permit me to recall the words of His Excellency President Macky Sall of the Republic of Senegal and current chairperson of the NEPAD Heads of States and Government Committee. I quote, "The world has changed. Africa, too, has changed. Let us therefore shift paradigms and change visions. It is of particular significance that the international community continues to be actively engaged in Africa's peace and development efforts. Indeed, partnership with Africa should truly be reflective and supportive of our transformational ambitions. In this context, NEPAD commends the outcomes of the fifth Tokyo International Conference on Africa's Development, TICAD 5, of June 2013. TICAD 5 is an important milestone in the Africa-Japan cooperation. Furthermore, we applaud the quality of a development partnership with the governments of Germany, Norway, Sweden, Spain, United Kingdom, Canada, USA, China, France, and the European Union, among others. NEPAD appreciates the continued support for the implementation of its continental sector policy strategies. We equally commend Africa's strong partnerships with the BRICS and the G20 and welcome the increasing opportunities for South-South and triangular cooperation. Madam President, before concluding, I wish to particularly commend the sound collaboration between the NEPAD Agency and the Office of a Special Advisor for Africa, headed by the Undersecretary General, Ambassador Majed Abdelaziz. We fully support the 67th UN General Assembly resolution to continue to strengthen the Office of a Special Advisor on Africa in order to enable it to effectively fulfill its mandate, including monitoring and reporting on progress related to meeting the special needs for Africa and coordinating the Interdepartmental Task Force on African Affairs. It is essential that OSA continues to play its role in supporting NEPAD at the UN, particularly relating to the implementation of the Rio Plus 20 outcomes, the MDGs acceleration, and the post-2015 development agenda. I cannot end this statement without commending the leadership of Mr. Ban Ki-moon, the Secretary General of the United Nations. In particular, we appreciate his commitment to the continent. As he stated at the commencement of the 2013 Africa-NEPAD Week, and I quote, "What APRM does for governance, NEPAD does for development. Together, they help Africa to advance along the path of democracy and development to benefit the continent's people. Nous sommes convaincus, Madame la Présidente, que la deuxième décennie de mise en œuvre du NEPAD, programme phare de l'Union africaine, ainsi que celle du mécanisme africain d'évaluation par les pairs, cadre pour la gouvernance en Afrique, bénéficieront de l'appui de l'ensemble des États membres des Nations Unies. Je vous remercie.
I thank the observer for the African Union. We have heard the last speaker in the debate for this meeting, the speaker in the debate for this meeting. We shall continue the debate this afternoon at 3 p.m. The meeting is adjourned.